I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go. 610 live from the greatest radio studio in the world. You should see the view we have. Matter of fact, come by right now.
Yeah.
Look out the window. See the lake. Navy Pier. And that's just this window. We're live on the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker, and Andy Mazur's in for Dave Ennett this morning.
Good to be here. You look like just a silhouette right now because the sun is right over your head.
You hitting on me?
I'm trying. Is it working?
Thanks for being here, Andy. That's Justin Kaufman. How are you?
I'm good. And you look good. I didn't know there were more windows in here. I thought this was the only one.
No, there's many. And there's a camera situated such that one of the monitors in the hallway shows our view, and it looks like a painting.
Mm-hmm. Like a Bob Ross painting.
Yeah, well, maybe even better.
You guys were all standing around it yesterday, just staring at it, even though we look right out the window at it.
This is weird. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, there's some happy little clouds in there this morning.
Like a three-year-old looking at TV instead of looking at the real thing. Sandberg, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. It's Friday.
It's weird. I woke up this morning. I couldn't figure out what day it was.
Well, that's because you were on vacation. And
is that threw the whole thing off?
How can you not know when it's Friday?
Especially when it's a payday Friday, which makes it even better.
For the rest of us who don't get 300 weeks of
vacation. We get paid today.
What do you mean 300 weeks? It's 298.
We're slaving all week. We know it's Friday.
Steve, he tricks us because he only takes like 2 days here, 1 day here.
Tiny pieces of days.
So we never can really add it up.
I'm actually here 2 months a year. Steve, how are you?
I'm well. I almost put my eye out last night.
What'd you do?
I had new weed whacker, and I ignored the first little warning box and the instructions to not wear safety glasses.
So what, the string snapped?
A little piece of rock flew up and hit me near the eye.
That's not
all
good.
Right, but now I have safety glasses.
Do you need the rest of the morning off?
No,
I haven't
good.
Seen you, Steve. Are you sporting a shiner?
Oh, no. It was a little sting. I felt it hit, but...
It's too bad
close.
It's not a big black eye, man. It'd be a cool story.
Right. Yeah, my investigative reporting skills are buzzing right now that this is not as big of a story as Steve first made it seem.
It wasn't breaking news?
Yeah, but at first Steve's like, you're not going to believe what happened. Look at my... It was a sting. It had a little pinch.
Chicago newsman, lucky to be alive.
Yes. But the takeaway is wear safety glasses, kids.
It's a PSA.
Yeah.
And you should wear them at work as well. And Mary, how are you?
Oh, me? Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm a little full of paint. I was painting yesterday.
Should have had Steve do it. He was outside.
Were you wearing safety goggles?
No, I wasn't wearing gloves. Nothing. I should have put more newspaper down. It's kind of messy.
Well, if you wait, listen, Lou Manfredini's coming up. He's going to be appalled at your lack of safety for all of these things.
I know. I was in a hurry.
He'll be happy, though, because I went to Ace Hardware to buy a pair of safety glasses.
Oh, see, there you go.
Because I have an Ace near my house.
How could you see it? You were blinded by the accident. Lou's coming up. You want to be the first caller, 312. What's the number? 981-7200. The text question coming up as well. But first, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Let's go live now to Canton, Ohio, where Andy's standing by. Bears got thumped.
I wouldn't say thumped.
I'm desperately worried about this team. They're already 0-1.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's widespread panic all over Canton, Ohio right now. You should see what's going on in the streets.
Who's quarterbacking? I didn't recognize him.
Chase Daniel. He's a backup quarterback.
I don't know who that is.
He's from Missouri, I believe. He's not going to be the guy that's going to hopefully be under center much of the year.
Is he going to make the team?
Yeah, he'll be the backup.
Preseason games are brutal.
They're awful.
Well, especially
the
this
Hall
one.
Of Fame game. Is awful. The most brutal awful. Game just in awful. The history of brutal football
games. You see the starters on the sidelines not wearing shoulder pads.
No, it's stupid.
They're on the fourth string by the second series.
It's terrible.
Bears lost 17-6.
I get it, but yeah.
And Andy, you want to do your big out from Canton?
Yes, I am reporting.
17-16?
17-16.
Yeah, you can tell how much of it I watched.
Yeah, I watched about that much, too.
Yeah.
Because I was outside the stadium right now here in Canton, Ohio, live.
Yeah, there you go.
You were doing your job, right?
Next, Chicago's Airbnb. Well, Oh, the world's changing, kids. Airbnb is hosting a record number of guests for Lollapalooza, especially on the south side, averaging $465 a weekend. Doesn't matter what the house is.
Yep.
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
Could you rent out your car? Would that be an Airbnb?
I've got a tent out for Airbnb this weekend.
I bet it works. Rooms for short-term rental at Airbnb, still available here and there in Chicago, but you're getting farther and farther away from Lollapalooza. And let's be honest, how far can you stumble?
Yeah.
And stagger. You know what I'm saying? Next! The Trump administration put forth its plan to freeze anti-pollution and fuel efficiency standards for cars. Yeah, of course he did. Significantly weakening one of the former initiatives by President Obama, a signature policy to combat global warming.
You know, I only push back on the idea that that's a signature Obama policy because that was, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the whole concept of fuel efficiency, it came out of the idea of the bailout for the auto industry in 2009, 2000. Remember,
well, it actually started in the 70s.
Yeah, I understand, but the reason that we gave taxpayer money to bail out the auto industry, but the deal that Obama made was saying you're going to improve efficiency because we have linked carbon dioxide emissions to global warming.
I can't remember
change.
Yesterday, and you're asking me to remember 2009.
Yeah, you're right, Justin.
Yeah, but does the current administration, do they have the right to rescind that deal? The deal was supposed to go to 2024.
That's why.
Is there going to be legal challenge that? Because I'm like, wait a second, that was the deal. That's why we gave you trillions of dollars in bailout.
You get to be president, you get to make up stuff.
Do you understand? But I mean, he's reneging on that deal.
Yeah, of course he is. Absolutely, you're 1,000% right.
To act as if it was just a do-gooder leftist president that did that—that's not the case. That was a contract. That was a deal that was made between an industry and the taxpayers. So I'm not sure why we should accept the fact that the new president, for whatever reason, because of his interest in oil or his interest in the lobby that tried to change this, changed it. That's why I get upset about it.
Wait a second. Are you saying that this president doesn't have the best interests of America?
I just show me the math that they show is so maddening because
it's ridiculous.
Essentially saying that this is the reasoning, Steve. You'll love this. The reason they don't want to go to fuel efficiency standards, I think it's 50 miles per gallon by 2024, is because then the cost of those vehicles will be more, so Americans will hold on to their old cars, and therefore they'll break down and cause serious accidents, and people will die.
I see that logical string, don't you?
I heard that
yesterday. Yeah, no, listen, you can't argue stupid. What did Ron White say? You can't fix crazy? No, you can't fix stupid. That's the technical term. You can't fix stupid. Apple became the first U.S. public company to be worth $1 trillion yesterday. $1 trillion. Boy, Steve Jobs picked a bad time to die. $1 trillion.
I'm sure he got a big chunk of that before he died, though.
What? How much his daughter gets? His daughter's memoir is out. She's kind of young to have a memoir, but there's no rules to that game. And points out that it wasn't a great relationship with her daddy. And I just wonder how much of the company she has. Was she willed any percentage of it?
I saw a really interesting stat that quietly Apple has been buying back their own stock over the last couple of years. So they're in complete control of that company. So for a $1 trillion company, you're right. It probably is a certain number of people that own that stock. It's not just willy nilly. Like
if I mentioned that I could have bought it at 16, and I said no,
they would have come and quietly got that money from you.
The only thing I know about her is from the movie Steve Jobs.
Well, it seems to be fairly close to what happened. He was not a good father until the end when he got sick.
Also,
and I don't know that he was a good father then. He was a good father to his second set of kids.
Weren't there two or three Steve Jobs movie that came? One with Ashton Kutcher, one with
The Ashton Kutcher one's not the one you want to pay attention to.
Yeah, that's not the one I watched.
Oh,
yeah.
Bummer.
I do love Ashton.
I made a mistake.
Was it HBO? I think it was an HBO.
You like the Fassbender one?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Fassbender. Fassbender and what's her name from Titanic? What's her name?
Winslet?
Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet played his lifetime assistant, who was a great part and an amazing woman, because she probably wanted to choke Steve Jobs many times. Next, Mayor Emanuel unveiled a 2-year, $10 million revamp of the Riverwalk between State and Lakeshore Drive. The mayor loves the Riverwalk. He's talked about it many times on this show, and we love the Riverwalk. It's a beautiful addition to the city. But where's this $2 million going, do we know?
I don't know.
Where's it
cool
going?
Cool stuff? What's he putting?
Yeah.
What's he tuning into?
He's making it more of
Riverwalk-y?
Yeah. I think
you're talking state to lakeshore. That area is right now it's kind of unused.
It's not. Yeah.
So that's the part last time he was in. He was talking about. Yeah. Okay.
I think this is more of the plan. I think that he's going to eventually have it be called like Rahm Emanuel's Riverwalk.
I will say I saw on the river the other day, and this is new. If you've been to Nashville, you know this concept. The concept of the bike where nine people can ride it and drink at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like
you
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The pedal car. Yeah,
they have pedal boats. They do that same concept, but on a boat that you can get on the river. So
that seems like a good idea if you fall out.
So if you hear, the Kesha, the Britney Spears song from the river, that's what that is. They've got the music pumping, and they're drinking shots, and they're all pedaling.
Chamber of Commerce would like to thank you for that vision.
Party don't stop.
Nobody asked you to sing. Protesters pray, chant outside Wrigley after anti-violence march briefly shut down Lakeshore Drive. No arrests were made. This thing did not make as much news as I thought it would.
Yeah, I saw 150 people or so.
So there you go. All right, that's your top six right there.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
First caller standing by. Let's say hi to Lou. Good morning, Lou.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. How's things there over at TV at Channel 9?
They're so nice. They're nice people here. Did you know that?
I'm not that fond of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The people behind the scenes are really nice.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. The talent, all divas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Divas and egomaniacs, left or right.
That Dan Ponce? He won't even look at me. Don't look at me, he says.
Don't look at Ponce in the eye.
I think we learned that a long time ago. But I know your father. He goes, I don't talk to my father.
Right, not since the incident.
He doesn't say that.
By the way, peel all the onion back there and try to figure out if any of that's true. Well, we move forward here and say hi to Jim. Jim's near Midway. What do you got for Lou, Jim?
I got brick flaking in my basement.
Is that a song? I got brick flaking. I got brick flaking in his basement. What's he going to do about this, Lou?
More than likely, you've got an old Chicago Common brick basement. You've got moisture infiltrating in through that brick. And the ones that are really shaling, where you can almost put a screwdriver through, those bricks really need to be replaced. You need a tuck pointer to come in and kind of carefully take out a section at a time and replace those bricks. The key is you've got to protect it from the moisture on the outside, which is very difficult to do. As it comes up and bangs up against the face of that brick, that's where you get that shaling off of there.
Is Jim being attacked by a dragon right now?
Sounds like it.
It's the bricks.
What is that noise, Jim? Where are you?
Car wash?
I'm in my car going to work. I rolled up the window.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, those weren't normal car noises, but we're going to take your word for it. Obviously, you're a spy.
But if you replace some of the damaged brick and then scrape away what you can that's loose where the brick is still sound, that can be sort of skim coated with a little thin set mortar to kind of hold it in place. But it's only a temporary fix because as the moisture keeps coming through that brick in an old foundation like that, there's not much you're going to do to stop it. One of the things you can do is wash the wall down with CLR and warm water. It's a 50-50 mix. If you were a mason, you'd use hydrochloric acid, but you don't want to use that inside a house. CLR is lactic acid, which will neutralize a little bit of the breakdown of the saltpeter and the minerals that are coming through that are breaking down.
It's like a whole religious experience.
Slow that process down.
Saltpeter?
It's like a chemistry.
I thought that lactic acid is the thing that builds up in your legs if you go for a long bike ride.
Right. Well, same thing.
It does, right? And it's also, lactose. It's in your milk.
Uh-huh. Yep. All of this is true, as far as you know. Hey, listen, Jim, you and your dragon get an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Hold on so we can get some details from you. Lou, the text question of the day is, Sandberg?
Which cover is better than the original song?
What cover is better than the original? You got one you love? Yeah, oh, a lot of people don't know this.
Hold on a second.
I'm talking about you. Lou Manfredini was a music and theater major in college.
I was.
So this guy knows tunes. All right, so which one are you thinking of?
The Neil Sedaka remake of...
Of the original Neil Sedaka song?
Yeah. Right, he remade...
Laughter in the Rain? No.
Come on.
Come a down, doobie doo down, down. Breaking Up is Hard to Do.
Yeah.
Breaking Up is Hard to Do, the ballad love song, heartbreak love song version. You're 1,000% right. It's way better than the original.
Way better. Yeah, I love that song.
Very good, Lou. You've started us off on a
That's a good one. That was like a deep cut right there.
That was impressive.
Remember when we hosted that radio show, you and I, late deep at night cuts. In the deep college
cuts.
Radio station?
Deep cuts, sure, of course. Hey, we got in a conversation yesterday about the damage that home improvement shows are doing to the actual home improvement side of life. In other words, people think they can do stuff they can't.
Oh, wow.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of that. I think that what drives me crazy, I've never been an HGTV watcher, and I'm old enough to be, you know, like when it started. And I talked to those people early on, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll do this with the camera. I go, wait, that doesn't make any sense. You can't do it that fast. Oh, it'll be fine. We'll fix it. And I go, no, you can't do it that fast. And so I worry sometimes when they see all this stuff, they don't give the full story. Even how much things cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people that can be rather gullible, they're like, oh, yeah, we could do that kitchen for $5,000. And you're like, you can't buy your appliances for that. You know, I mean, depending on what you buy. And so the one nice thing, though, Steve, is that it used to be when I was building homes, I had customers that would bring me pictures from a magazine, and they would say, I want this. Now they can do a lot of research online, and really, if they take the time to learn, there's a million opinions, and all that does is confuse more people. And, you know, I'll say something to someone, even a caller on Saturday mornings, they'll go, well, I looked on the internet, and that's not there. I go, well, not everything is on the internet.
What?
I know, it's hard to believe.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because the conversation we had yesterday sort of mirrors what you're saying about, but also there's the flip side of that, too, that bringing ideas to you, and you sort of referenced it there, can shorten the process of communication between the home improvement expert and the client, can it?
Absolutely. You mean in a positive sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, the thing was what I learned early on when the advent of all this information was coming along, my partner and I would say, like, gosh, it's hard to keep up with people in their, in their choices or what they see, because, you know, all of a sudden, as we all know, we get obsessed about a topic, and all of a sudden we're searching the internet and we spend 3 hours like, oh, what about this? What does this person say? What does this person say? And so if you're running a business, you're like, I need to go to bed. Because I have to get up and go to work tomorrow.
Well, that's a fair point. It's absolutely a fair point. All right, any questions? Anybody? Anybody on staff got anything? We all good? All right, round the horn. Nobody? All right, everybody is zip, zip happy. What are you talking about on TV here?
I love you people. Today we're talking about things you can pour or apply, and they do all the work.
Things you can pour or apply, and it takes care of whatever the problem is?
Yeah, because, like, when I do these segments, I don't know if you watch them because you're on the air, but, you know, Robin really doesn't pay any attention to anything that I do.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's off today. So she's like, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Like, that's the thing she always says. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with a bunch of products that are like, all right.
That's why they call her Robin the Segment Killer.
Right. Exactly.
Well, but, Lou, you do give some complicated... Well, do this and then scrape this and then get like
two
things.
Steps.
Yeah.
Like,
so
pour this and wipe it up.
I'm all
she doesn't
for
even
the,
want to do that.
I'm all for the pour and let it take care of itself. That sounds
spray
good
this
to me.
On and wipe it off. I'm
pour
never
and
that.
Wipe. Yeah. Right. Who's going to take the time?
Who's going to do that? Forget it.
All right. So, stuff that you can do is.
It does all the work for you.
Right. Without Robin's heckling this morning with Lou on Channel 9. And then you're on the radio tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
Love you.
Love you back. See you later. And headlines next, 720 WGN. Tickets for next Friday's live show at the Saturday Night Live exhibit.
Yeah.
You got to win the Lollapalooza game. I like your chances. 312-981-7200. We'll play the Lollapalooza game with you in just a moment. The text question, Sandberg, again, is what?
What cover is better than the original? And I will agree,
the Hootie song we just
heard. Darius Rucker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wagon Wheel, everyone covers it, but his is, like, the best.
What's yours? First one that comes to mind.
Proud Mary.
Now, who did it first?
Creedence Clearwater.
They did.
But Tina Turner, that's the...
It wasn't long after that.
No.
When she left a good job in the city working for the man every night and day. You got a sample? Give me a little sample, Joe.
Oh, wait.
Oh, we're looking for a sample.
Yeah, we're getting a sample.
All right.
I like what a listener texted in about Sound of Silence. Sounds of Silence, Disturbed. They sing it.
Oh. Disturbed did a remake?
Oh, my God. It's the best.
Really?
It is so good. No.
All right, here we go.
No, here we go.
Come on, Tina.
You're acting confused for Tina.
I am often confused because I wear the heels.
Nice.
And slow. Nice and easy.
There's just one thing. You see, we never, ever do nothing. Nice. Easy. We always do it. Nice. Rough. But we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy.
We'll return to this song already in progress later in the show.
It takes a while.
But she gets going.
And she did all that dancing in heels. Yeah. I saw Tina Turner in concert once, and she had to be 55 maybe then. And she just danced her little fanny off for the two and a half, well, not so little, for the 2.5 hours in heels. It's very impressive.
I was in a nightclub where it was a hardcore hip-hop nightclub DJ.
Of course you were.
Right? Of course. Right? Yeah. It's a different time. And they mixed...
Wait. I'm sorry? Tina Turner's just showing up.
They mixed What's Love Got to Do with It into it, and the whole place went crazy.
Like, not
I
bad. Like,
I thought, yeah, I thought for sure that was the...
She's 78 right now.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. All right, crank it up again. Come on, Tina, hit me. And pretty strong. Pretty strong. 312-981-7200. Going to play the Lollapalooza game. Andy, you got a cover?
Yeah, two kind of immediately came to mind. The first is kind of blasphemous because I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan.
Mm-hmm.
But Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that version a little bit better. Yeah.
Cover.
That's actually Springsteen's only number one hit, although he didn't sing it. Manfred Mann's version went to number one.
See, I have a similar predicament with Prince, who I believe is the greatest artist of all time. Prince did a song.
Andy's dancing for people that are not here.
Prince did a song that was, I don't want to say what it is because we're going to play it later. Yeah. Spoil the big surprise. But I'll give you one that's easy. Respect.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Otis Redding. How do you go against Otis Redding? Mm-hmm. But Aretha's version is better.
It's true.
So, what about you, Jesse?
I think anything Elvis sang.
Remade?
Because he remade all of his songs. All of the songs that Elvis did.
All the white artists that stole the black guy's music.
I like the... I know this might be blasphemy, but I like the Mrs. Robinson by the Lemonheads, which is awesome. And obviously...
I like Lemonheads of Candy, but not a lot because it gives me a heartburn.
And then the other is... I forget the name of the Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. Is a cover of a country song. And I like the version Aerosmith does better. Even though in karaoke, I do a better country version.
I didn't know it was a cover. Oh, by the way, speaking of karaoke,
mm-hmm.
We thought the ostrich jacket was the only thing Paul Manafort threw a bunch of money away on. He had a $10,000 karaoke system in his house.
Oh, nice.
Now, he had to be doing Elvis things. I've been calling him an Elvis impersonator since the moment I saw him.
Why do you need a $10,000? You just go to your Comcast remote, play Manfred Mann on YouTube, karaoke, and you're in.
Yeah.
Well, if you want more of the stage presence, those we at our house, there's a lot of karaoke, so we have one of those cheaper versions, and they do fall apart.
Do they flash lights on the wall?
I was going to say, was there pyrotechnics?
Yeah, there's his probably was really good.
Jim, stand by. We'll go to Jim in just a second, right after this brief look at what's coming up at 7.
Steve, we'll find out today whether or not there will be a change of venue in an important trial involving a Chicago police officer. That story at 7 o'clock from the WGN Newsroom.
Hi, Mary. Hold on that traffic for 1 second. Jim, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to give you a band name. You tell me if it's a Lollapalooza band, a regular old band, or a band I was in. Are you ready? Did you say you were ready?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. The band's name is Coco Puffy. Coco Puffy.
Lollapalooza.
So you meant to say a band that I was in?
Okay, Bandit Yuri.
Oh, that's
Sorry.
Right. Yes, that was during my hip-hop period. I was Coco Puffy. All right, hold the line, man. You won. You have Saturday Night Live tickets, live broadcast next Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street. Come and see the SNL exhibit with us. It's almost like a private tour for you.
I'll tell you what. Rush is very unhappy that Trump won, that I can tell you. But I got along great with Putin. And everybody said, wow, that was a great, that was great. A couple of hours later, I started hearing these reports that, you know, they wanted me to walk up. Here's a podium here. They wanted me to walk up and go like this. Son of a big boy. They wanted me to go up and have a boxing match. I said, whatever happened to diplomacy?
I love it.
It's just, it's one of the more disturbing things about this president is he thinks it's open mic night at Zany's.
he's a good act.
Unbelievable.
He's more successful. He's like Kevin Hart. He's playing the stadiums.
Kevin Hart will jump up and slap you if he hears you say that. I'm a big Amanda Carpenter fan. She is a conservative who doesn't take any nonsense from anybody, right side, left side, in the middle, and does a great job on CNN anytime, all the time. She's written a new book called Gaslighting America, Why We Love It When Trump Lies to Us. Good morning, Amanda.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for the compliments and for having me on today.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. I'm a big fan. Let's start with the obvious. Explain what gaslighting is.
Gaslighting. So imagine if you were walking down the street, and it's a beautiful day, and someone, maybe a president, says, what color is the sky? You look up, it's blue. No, he says, it's green. You look up, no, it's blue. And then a bunch of people start surrounding him and saying, you're fake news, it is green. And then you have to go on TV, and there's a debate panel to debate the color of the sky. And ultimately, one of two things may happen. One, you may start to go crazy, punching the table, saying it's green, you people are crazy, the panel breaks down into a million pieces. Or you just kind of shut up and go along with it. That's gaslighting.
And that's what's happening from sea to shining sea. You're not seeing huge poll number changes, but a lot of people, and by the way, myself included, have wondered why, after 2.5-3 years of this, in full disclosure, I've known Trump for 30-plus years, so I'm a little biased here, but where's the rest of the people coming to their senses? They're being gaslighted. That's why you need to read Gaslighting America, Why We Love It When Trump Lies to Us. By the way, get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one. All right, so as a conservative, I know one of the things that frustrates you is the loss of the Republican Party in a large way. Why aren't we seeing more Republican leaders stand up and say enough of this?
Well, I think it comes down to the fact that people are extremely conflict adverse. And I, you know, even working on Capitol Hill for 5 years, reporting on it for another 5 years, I never realized how true that was until the Republican primary. Before I was working at CNN, I used to be communications director for Ted Cruz. And so, you know, I came from an office that was pretty used to confrontation on Capitol Hill in terms of, you know, spending bills and trying to buck the so-called establishment. That was all game on and well and good. But when it came to the primary and the prospect of winning or losing an election by getting on board with Trump or not, I was shocked with how easily people got on board with Trump or just made the decision to sit things out, which I think is a grave decision. At the 2016 convention, people like John Kasich, who I have a lot of respect for, Jeb Bush, decided not to show up. They decided they would just let Trump have the party without protest.
Right.
And so I think that's where we got into trouble. There should have at the very least, been a roll call vote at the convention so people could go on record with where they stood.
Absolutely.
And that all was shut down. And there was only a small delegation of people trying to do that. But I guess that's my biggest frustration. For good Republicans who are sitting it out on the sidelines and not standing up to take the party back or make it better. Because I, as a Republican, believe that if Republicans don't fight to get control over spending and deficits in the government, no one ever will. And so I just want my fellow conservatives, this is rough. It's rough and tumble to try to hold your party accountable, but it's necessary.
Amanda, this week we saw the president call out the Koch brothers, longtime fundraisers of conservative politics and policy. He called them a joke. He said they're a joke in Republican circles, and essentially set up this idea that Trump is the Republican Party and the older guard, the people who have we've associated with the Republican Party, they're on the outside. Do you see it that way? Do you see that possibly that Donald Trump leads the new GOP and that the old GOP are the outcasts?
Well, I do think it is Trump's party for the time being, but I do believe it's temporary, just because there's no lasting value beyond Donald Trump. It is built on him, solely on him. It is a Trump brand. And if you don't have Trump standing there, I don't think there's any lasting principles. And so the Koch brothers, I think it's a little bit funny. They originally rejected the idea of blanket funding all Republican candidates as they have in the past because of the problems that Trump has caused, which, you know, I don't think any Republican should feel entitled to the Koch's money. They do a lot of education. You know, I think their stances on immigration do conflict with the Trump administration in some ways. But that whole notion is funny to me, in the idea that he's spurning people who are generally supportive just seems really self-defeating.
You know, the president of the United States is supposed to represent all of us. One of the big problems I had with President Obama is too often he thought he was president of the Democrats. This president thinks he's president of Donald Trump. He gets up in the morning. Mm-hmm. He starts the day with what's best for Donald Trump. He spends the middle of the day with what's best for Donald Trump. And he goes to bed with what's best for Donald Trump. That kind of singular narcissistic notion is no way to run this country.
Yeah, I think we're going to get into trouble in terms of the spending bill and the possibility of a government shutdown coming in September. There's a slim chance it goes through, but he's been toying with it, which, you know, I've worked through a government shutdown, and I'm actually not opposed to it if you message it right and it's for a broad-based reason that touches a lot of Americans and you decide it's worth it and you can clearly message that what you're doing and how it's going to happen. But Trump is essentially saying, well, yeah, I might do it before the midterms or after, depending on when it's better. But Republicans are already in trouble going into the midterm elections. And I think he's so focused on his need to get to the wall, get the wall funded for 2020, that he doesn't care. And I've heard some of the strategists say that he would do better in 2020 if there was a Democratic Congress he could rail against the whole time.
I thought Mexico was paying for the wall. Amanda Carpenter, Gaslighting America, Why We Love It When Trump Lies to Us. I'm telling you, read this. You may need less antacids, and it'll also help you arm yourself going forward. Sever?
Amanda's going to be in town next month, and she said she would come by the studio.
Yeah, come by. We'd love to have you in studio.
It'd be fun. I'd love to meet you guys. I'm going to do a seminar at the Chicago Institute of Politics about gaslighting and fake news.
Cool.
And everything I've learned the whole way. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and maybe I'm going to bring a student by the studios to at least drive me in there and get some coffee with.
A student's welcome as well. And I'll tell you what we'll do. If you promise to come by, we'll put a lake in for your view.
That's right.
So,
you have a lakeside view.
Well, I'm not saying the lake is here now. I'm saying if you come in, we may put the lake in so you have something nice to look at.
Give us 6 to 8 weeks.
You can get started now, and it might be done in time, huh?
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Gaslighting America. By the way, follow Amanda on social media at Amanda Carpenter all over, and you can follow me at Cochran Show, and you can follow you at yours. Thank you, Amanda. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks.
See you later. It's 7 o'clock news next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This is Here Comes the Sun. This is originally done by, I think it was Led Zeppelin. I think Led Zeppelin did this originally.
For the Who.
We're looking for cover versions that were better than the originals. That's the text question at 312-981-7200. By the way, music is. So, Lollapalooza's underway. Here's the deal. Let's play the Lollapalooza game as well while I tell you some of these cover stories. Okay?
Cover songs.
Well, there's stories about the songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a story about each individual song. The Lollapalooza game, where you have to guess the band I name is whether or not it's a Lollapalooza band or not. And all the other sort of crap that I throw in. Johnny Cash Hurt. I didn't know that was a remake.
I didn't either.
No, did not know that was a remake. And I don't know who did the original, but that was a painful song to listen to because he was sick at the end of his life. And you could tell Hurt was literal.
Wasn't it Nine Inch Nails did Hurt?
Did it? I don't know.
It's a contemporary version, but I'm not sure what the lineage of the song is. But
who did Animal? Was that Trent Reznor?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't write them like that anymore.
Bow. Yeah.
Not one to play for your grandmother. 312 texter says, All Along the Watchtower, Jimi Hendrix version better than Bob Dylan. Listen, Bob Dylan, a great writer, but wasn't anything Bob Dylan did improved when someone else sang it? Tom Jones version of Kiss, I'm going to have to say no. The original Prince version I'm going to go with on Kiss. Though I like Tom Jones. And by the way,
I always thought it was the other way around. I always thought Tom Jones did that song, and then Prince did it afterwards because I just thought it was better.
Tom Jones was doing a hip version. It actually was a hit.
It was good, yeah.
You didn't tell us your Prince.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
And I got a chance to see Prince do this song. It's the only reason I knew that he did it and he wrote it because I wasn't paying attention, I suppose. But I saw a private concert with about 30 people of Prince sitting down at the piano and playing. And you may remember the original, or I should say the remake, because honestly, the remake of Prince's version of Prince, I'm sorry, this is actually better. Sinead O'Connor. Kind of turned into a hot mess, but man, she was. What a great voice. And that's an original Prince song. Bob Dylan's Knocking on Heaven's Door, redone by Guns N' Roses.
Kirk on Twitter says Ryan Adams doing Wonderwall. That's Oasis.
I like the original Wonderwall.
Yeah, but Ryan Adams did a whole. He's a big cover guy. Did the whole Taylor Swift stuff. He's an interesting guy that does interesting covers of songs.
I think he did Circle Red Rubber Ball as well. Remember that song?
Oh, I do remember that song, unfortunately.
Jimi Hendrix cover of Dylan's All Along the Watchtower again comes up. Four Tops, Walk Away, Renee. I didn't know that was a remake either. Sound of Silence by Disturbed. You guys know that one?
Yeah, that's the one I said, too. It's really good.
You're way too hip. You're much hipper than I give you credit for.
Oh, yeah. I listen to a lot of alternative stuff. I do.
Up on the roof, James Taylor. Who did the original?
I don't even.
It's the Christmas
song. Yeah.
Up on the rooftop.
No.
Yeah, it's a different.
That's actually a different one.
It's a Rudolph.
219, Garth Brooks version of Shameless, better than Billy Joel's original. Again, Billy Joel.
Ooh,
I don't know.
That's tough. I think Billy that's Joel. A tie. Those are both two of my faves.
How do I not know the Billy Joel Shameless?
It goes like Garth Brooks without the twang.
Good singer, right?
I'm shameless.
I don't.
Something as a man can
224's got a good one. The Dixie Chicks version of Landslide, better than Fleetwood Mac.
I do like the Dixie Chicks version.
On the fence on that one.
Smashing Pumpkins in there, too.
870, Hazy Shade of Winter, done by the Bangles. 224, The Beatles' Twist and Shout, cover the Isley Brothers. 619, Smooth Criminal by Alien and Farm.
Do they say that the Beatles version is better?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. You think that's what made the Beatles Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Gotta be.
Nobody knew that English band until it made it to the new wave.
Chicago Beatles. 80s. Hey, folks, this is the Beatles.
It's a great song, no doubt about it, but Twist and Shout was a...
847, Under Pressure by My Chemical Romance. I'm going to go with the original Queen.
Me too.
815, Judas Priest cover of Diamonds and Rust by Joan Baez. Mm. Every Reba McEntire cover is fantastic, especially Fancy, says the 810. Joe Cocker with the help. I'm going to get by with a little help from my friends. Mm-hmm. And then he goes into some sort of tremor.
That's
847, Ring of Fire covered by Home Free. Don't know it.
I don't either.
No? We're starting to get into personal bands now.
And we're playing people are in these bands
at the pit on Tuesday.
912 says Adele's remake of Love Song by The Cure. 630, It's Almost Sacrilege, but Almost Sacrilege, that was a good song.
Okay.
Lenny Kravitz, American Woman is amazing. It is good.
That's pretty good.
I love Lenny Kravitz.
The Cure one is the Blasphemy.
Lenny Kravitz is so good. So good. And by the way, we both shop at the same leather vest store. Lenny Kravitz, I mean.
I like this video. It has that blonde actress in it on the car.
Who's that?
What's her name?
You mean that one blonde
actress? You're thinking
Whitesnake.
No, this is
Tawny Kitaen.
Tawny Kitaen.
She was in the I don't want to say a bad
word. The Dirk Diggler movie?
Yeah.
Heather Graham.
Heather Graham. Yeah. She's on the car.
Oh, that's right.
Why aren't I asked this in the break, but why don't you think there are more rap songs that are not covered verbatim? We know they sample them all the time.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the way they do.
Years
well,
of rap
because
songs.
I'd have to
that's
pop a cap in you.
No, I mean this. But you would think that the early LL Cool J or the early Grandmaster Flash, they would just cover it and do the same lyrics.
I don't know,
but rap doesn't do that.
I did give you one. I gave you one off the air. The kids from Glee did Kanye's Gold Digger.
I thought of another one.
And the kids from Glee have a lot of street cred.
Okay.
Crank this up.
Yes, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me.
Whatever happened to me?
Even if you sample Kanye in your Glee, it's still Glee.
That's weird. Lauryn Hill doing, I think it was Frankie Valli. I love you, baby. Oh, who sings that song? It's quite all right. I love you, baby.
I don't know. Who
Lauryn Hill did a version of that.
Lauryn Hill did a version of the Four Seasons?
Yeah, and it's really great. It's
Van Halen's Dance the Night Away?
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. That's a sample of a few. 312-981-7200 if you want to text in. Covers that were better than the original. All right. In the interest of time, well, you know what? We'll do this. Let's do this. Let's say what's coming up at 7:30. We'll come back with the most valuable person on the planet. And then we'll play the Lollapalooza game. So get in line now if you want to win tickets to next Friday's live show at the SNL exhibit, where you get essentially a private tour the SNL exhibit. It's very cool. You come down, you see the show. After the show, you get a walk around to see all the stuff and have some fun. All right, 312-981-7200. Texters, you can text in your covers, and we need a phone caller for the game in a moment. Valuable person on the planet story in just a second. Pay attention to the piano. Just ahead of that, Lori's on the phone trying to win tickets to next Friday's Saturday Night Live exhibit show. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
I'm going to give you a band name. Tell me if it's a real band, a band I was in, or a Lollapalooza band. The band's name is A Box of Fish with Tartar Sauce. A Box of Fish with Tartar Sauce. What is it?
Sounds like a real band.
That is a real band.
Nice.
How in God's name did you know that?
Nice work, Lori.
Yeah, well, my husband likes to play in bands, and they had some pretty weird names, so there you go.
What if I said to you, and I'm about to, Blood Sledge Electric Death Chickens. Blood Sledge Electric Death Chickens.
I'm going to go with La La Band on that one.
Maybe someday, but not this year. It's a real band.
They got to work their way up.
You've already won, so now we're just
choice.
You've already won, so we're just goofing around. Now, hey, congratulations! We'll see you next Friday.
Thank you. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun. Looking forward to seeing you. I like her; she's good. Sandberg, make a note of that. Let's put her on the show.
All right, she can be a regular.
Live broadcast next Friday from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's Saturday Night Live, the Experience, the only exhibit in America celebrating SNL. Creator of SNL is coming in next weekend. We're trying to hornswoggle him into coming on the show. He never does interviews.
Nobody knows who creates this stuff. The behind the scenes names, creator of SNL. Who could that be?
Are you heckling the host of the show?
Joe Thompson? What's
could
that
you, let me ask you a question.
No, it's not about you.
Let me ask you a question. Could you sound more disinterested in what
I'm
just said?
A joke about the idea that everybody knows the name of the creator. I'm playing along.
Do you know the name of the creator?
Yes.
What is it?
Lorne Michaels, yeah.
Okay, well, if you know it, maybe a few others do.
I know. All right.
Tickets for you to come and see us, the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street, SNL, the Experience, closes on New Year's Eve. All right, now you may have heard this story about a young man named Bryce Dudall. Bryce is a pizza delivery guy, and he goes and he brings a pepperoni pie to the Varchetti family from Hungry Howie's. And he notices inside the Detroit home of the family is a beautiful piano. Good morning, Bryce.
Yeah, good morning. How's it going?
He sounds like a tired pizza
delivery
guy.
Did we get you up a little early?
If sorry, what was that?
Did we get you up a little early, Bryce?
Oh, yeah, I was still sleeping.
I'll bet you were. You just graduated from high school, and the family, after you noticed their baby grand, invited you in to play, right?
Yeah, they invited me to play.
Yeah, so you came in, and you blew it away as you played. And by the way, as you hear Bryce's voice, this will be no surprise. As you heard Bryce play the third movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. So are you classically trained?
Yes, since the age of 12, but before I started taking actual private piano lessons, I was able to play a very high level of music, but I couldn't read sheet music at all.
Yeah, I've got a note here that said you started playing at 6.
Yep, exactly.
Are you going to do something with music in your life?
Yeah, I'm hoping to. I was a little disinterested in it for...
What? You disinterested? You were a little disinterested in it. Why? I'm sorry?
Yeah, for about the past probably like year or two, I kind of didn't feel like it was going anywhere for me, so I kind of focused a little bit more on sports. But I think all this stuff that's been going on right now with all the media attention and all that, I think it's really sparked my interest again, and maybe it'll help me make a career out of music. Really interested again.
You got such a hook here, Bryce. You're the disinterested, laid-back surfer dude who plays classical music. This is a career for you.
Yeah.
Totally. Listen, I love the story. And were the people knocked out when you could play that well? I assume they were.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Were the people that you played the piano for, they must have been blown away.
Oh, yeah, they were really amazed. Mostly because they didn't really expect it, you know?
That's crazy. I know you have a baseball scholarship to Macomb Community College that you're supposed to start this month. Are you still going to do that?
Yeah, I start my fall baseball season August 10th, and then my actual classes start up August 20th.
All right, and you're a pitcher?
Sorry, what was that?
You're a pitcher?
Yeah, I'm a pitcher.
Okay. Well, the Chicago White Sox need 5 of them, so maybe you could fill one of those roles.
I'm not that good at pitching.
Well, you haven't seen the White Sox. All right, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you getting up. Sorry we woke you up, but thank you for being on. Hold the line. Give Bryce a stimulant and also one of Rokon's cars.
Give him a pizza.
Yeah, and send him a pizza. Why not? What a nice kid, huh?
Yeah.
Bryce Dudol.
He's got a lot going on. I mean, yeah. He's got a piano baseball scholarship. He's a piano genius. He's delivering pizzas. Kid. He's got a lot going on.
I love that guy. Sorry, again? I love that guy is playing Beethoven as he delivers pizza.
What was that?
Yeah, right? So funny. I wonder, like, how do you even get to that point where you're like...
Which part? The pizza part or the piano part?
You see the piano.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, can I play that? I'd be like, no.
I mean, that is a kid. I have played that song before because I took piano as a kid. It is so hard. That third movement, it is very difficult.
Yeah, but when you have Bryce's kind of focus.
But I had music in front of me.
The way Bryce is able to focus, his laser focus.
I wonder.
Bryce Dudol, MVPP, yes?
Whose other pizzas were sitting in the car not getting delivered because he's putting on a concert?
I'm telling you, the Varchettis didn't care. They had their pie
their
entertainment.
Yeah.
Is that the second question? He's like, cash or credit? And do you have a piano in there that I can try something out?
What do you think the guy was casing the house to rip it off? Hey, that's a nice piano. Can I take a look? Of course, we don't know what he's like at 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock at night. He's probably wide awake by then, mostly. It's 7:32. Let's do this. Let's come back and get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. When you put by yourself.
7:41. Congratulations, Brian Urlacher, going in the Hall of Fame this weekend, and well deserved. The head coach of the Fighting Illini. And we're going to talk to him about Urlacher and also about the Fighting Illini in just a second. Before we get to that, I also want to tell you that coming up on this program later is Steve Stone on your Chicago White Sox, Dean Richards on your show business, the Coronas
We'll play live in studio. Justin, tell me about the Coronas.
Irish band playing Lollapalooza on Sunday.
And Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live. Speaking of the SNL tickets we're giving away all week. Chris Redd is in town doing stand-up. Where is he, at the Improv?
He's hosting a stage at Lollapalooza, like a comedy stage.
Oh, good. So a bunch of his buddies are on it, or is
Yeah,
he...
I'm not sure. I mean, it's a Toyota thing. I know that that's the Toyota comedy stage.
Well, Toyota's a funny car. I'll tell you that right now. And Chris Redd will join us after 9. All right, Lovey's ready, so let's go to the coach right now. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Doing great. How about y'all?
Doing fine. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're on. I want to talk about your team, but first I want you to tell me, if you would please, your favorite Brian Urlacher memory.
You know, I was with Brian quite a few years. One memory, be pretty tough. There's so many. One of my favorite games, of course, he had was the Monday Night Arizona game. Running interception, about 90-yard interception return versus Brett Favre. But first day at camp, there's a million Brian Urlacher memories that I have. Right. And so we had a chance to think about quite a few of them, for sure.
Yep, and he is going into Canton this weekend, which is, I'm sure it's a great thrill for you as well.
Absolutely. Of course, for Brian and his family, yes, for all the coaches, you know, his coach Bob Babbage that would be presenting him, but all of his teammates. I mean, I make a statement, Brian is the best superstar you'll ever be around, and I mean, that's what, you know, most of his teammates, all of his teammates will say. So, special day for a lot of people.
The Chicago coach, congratulations on having a player that you coached to the Hall of Fame. I'm interested in your take on your defense. Your defense, the cover two, is well known in NFL circles as one of the best defensive schemes in the history of football. Brian Urlacher was a big part of that. Talk about how your defense got better because of a guy like Brian Urlacher.
Well, we do believe in our philosophy on how defense should be played. One of the main reasons why our defense could be successful is linebacker play. It's a linebacker-friendly system, and when you have a special guy in the middle that starts everything, first guy that they hear every play, checks to be made to get in the perfect defense, all of those things, you know, defenses look a lot better for it. But, you know, there's a premium on athletic ability at the linebacker position. And, you know, when you start drawing up guys, the perfect linebacker, does he look like Brian? Yeah, looks just like Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guy with that type of speed can do it all. Man coverage, if we wanted to, he would probably be going in if we had just rushed him most of the time, too, on the outside.
You know, if you're caught in a dark alley and you got to fight your way out, who do you want, Butkus, Singletary, or Urlacher?
Well, you know, you would like all three of them. It would be my first preference.
Depends on the alley.
You know, but, of course, Mike Singletary, you know, the reason why he's in the Hall, too. And, you know, as I'm looking on the phone with you right now, I'm, you know, looking out at Memorial Stadium. And of course, Dick's number is at the top of our stadium. So he knows how to play a little bit of football, too. But for me personally, of course, to be able to be in every meeting, you know, around meetings with Brian, see him in training camp in all season, and then just off the field, seeing what kind of father he is and type of husband. So have a little bit more insight on Brian.
There you go.
Lovey, when you came to Chicago from St. Louis and you had the ability to take over this team, Brian Urlacher was already a budding star in a different system. What did you know about him? From being a coach in the NFL at that point, a defensive coordinator, what did you know about Urlacher and how excited were you to come play with him?
Well, I'm going to go back to when Brian first came out. I remember interviewing him, you know, at the combine. And, you know, he was at a different position. We knew he was getting ready to make the transition. And as a young linebacker coach, you saw the potential right then. So I can vividly remember when he first came, maybe one of his first games he came in, it was against our Tampa Bay Buccaneer team. When I think it was an injury. Late in the game, Brian came in, and and made a great tackle on our sideline. And you kind of saw right then, you know, what was probably going to happen in his future. I'm not necessarily saying Hall of Fame, but you saw a special player early on. So, yeah, St. Louis, same thing. And you're really excited, of course, to become the head coach for the Chicago Bears. And to have a guy like that that you're going to, you know, grow with was pretty special.
Yeah, you want him on your team, not against your team.
Yeah, Coach, absolutely.
Coach, I'm just curious, too, because, you know, superstars these days are so flashy and flamboyant. And Bryant was exactly the opposite of that. I'm wondering if he's a good example for some of your young Illini to kind of follow as well.
He's a great example for any group that's playing football, just in general. It's a good group, of course, for the, you know, any other Hall of Famer going in, any pro team, college team, high school, yes. You know, you won't, you know, guys are looked up and they want to be like certain guys. It's definitely okay for your, you know, your young man, your kid, as he's growing up, to want to be exactly like Brian Urlacher in every way. He gets so much credit for so much. His football intellect was off the charts, too. Knew what everybody was supposed to do every play. Just can't think of a negative when you say, okay, well, this guy could do this. Well, Brian could do it all.
You know, Lovey, last time I saw you, I had a lot more hair than I do now. So, you know, I'm a proud member of the Follically Challenged. You like Urlacher with hair or without? I'm going with the no-hair Urlacher.
Well, I'm definitely going with the no-look Urlacher. I don't know this other Urlacher like that. So, I mean, we talk about that perfect linebacker. He needs to have a bald head, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir, Coach.
Coach, with the bus going into the Hall of Fame this weekend and Brian Urlacher being enshrined, I have to ask the question, is that really a win for the Chicago Bears defense that you brought to Chicago? Is that a win for... Because if you see Singletary or Buckus or any of the people, you think of the defenses they played with and all the players surrounding them. Is it extra emotional for you that it's not just Brian Urlacher, but it's the Chicago Bears defense, a defense that you ran in Chicago?
Well, I think so. And I think, you know, most of his teammates say there's a group, you know. When Brian, one of the first times I talked to Brian when he found out he was selected, I mean, his comment was, hey, Coach, can you believe this? We're going in the Hall of Fame. You
know? Nice.
And he was talking, and of course he was talking, we were having a conversation, but he was talking about he and his teammates, all the people that were a part of helping him and again, the teams that he was on. You know, there's so many. Just think about Lance Briggs. You know, most of the time we saw Brian, Lance Briggs was right there by his side. Charles Tillman, Adewale Ogunleye, sure. Israel Stanley. All these guys, yes, they feel definitely like they're part of this.
Nice collection.
And you were talking about hair. We know Brian's bust is going to have no hair. That's what he chose.
It's the way it should be.
That's how he played, so he left the bust bald.
Can you imagine if the bust had a hairpiece?
Yeah.
Come on, stop it already. All right, Coach, let's talk about your Illini for a second here, because it's a good young recruiting class, and it's a young team at a time when the Big Ten's never been tougher. Obviously, their story's off the field. We don't know what the situation's going to be at Ohio State going forward, but we know they're still going to be good, regardless of who the coach is. And it's just it's a tough time to be young. We know this team's coming, but what should Illini fans expect this year?
Well, it is a tough time to be young, but we're older. You know, this is our second recruiting class. Yeah, last year, of course, starting 15 true freshmen. There's growing pains, but those guys have gotten a lot better through the offseason. We're really excited about this second class added to this group. So we're young, and last year, three opponents really blew us out. We weren't in. The rest of the time, we couldn't finish. Again, our guys are growing up quite a bit. So what the Illini fans should expect is a better product on the football field. We love our schedule. You know, one time leaving the state of Illinois until late October. So we'll see improvement.
Good to have, as it's been stated, a legitimate competition there for quarterback and some names that are pretty big.
Absolutely, it is. And you want competition, legitimate competition at every position, but it starts with the quarterback position. Cam Thomas, of course, going in as a lead guy at quarterback position, but we're excited about grad transfer, A.J. Bush, M.J. Rivers, Matt Robinson, Karan Taylor. We have a good group of guys that will be competing.
You open with?
We open with Kent State, first weekend in September. So really excited about that. Need our fans to come out. They're going to help us make this move.
You know, is there any chance we'll see Coach Urlacher in the future, or possibly a motivational speaker for him to come down, a Hall of Famer to talk to the kids?
Well, you know, Hall of Famers have an open invitation wherever they want to go. Any restaurant, of course, any of our practices. Come sit in the office with me. Absolutely. Of course, it's that way for all of my former players there. They know they have a standing invitation. If they need a football fix, we'd love for them to come down.
I haven't done my scouting on Kent State, but with a nickname like the Flashers, they better be big and mean.
Well, they are new head coach that was offensive coordinator for Syracuse. So that spread attack is what we'll see. And now that's kind of college football for the most part. Most teams are spread offenses, so we need to be able to step up to the plate.
Glad you made such a strong commitment to the University of Illinois, Coach. I look forward to seeing your program grow with you, and I really feel like you're the right guy for that team.
Thanks, and you know, again, just pumped up. Have a practice Saturday morning. Going to fly up after that. A lot of great things happening this weekend. Yeah, take care.
All the best. Thanks. Coach Lovie Smith talking about his guy, Brian Urlacher. And as he said, in case Urlacher was listening, Andy, anytime Urlacher wants to just come down, yeah, the door's open.
He's got the standing invitation.
I forced Miles to watch a montage of Urlacher last night.
Oh, is that right?
And on YouTube, and he was nonplussed, and I had a tear in my eye.
Right.
Watching those plays.
Dad, why are you crying?
I was like, no reason. He's good.
You know, listen.
We were 8-8 so many times.
You know, listening to Lovey talk, I mean, I covered him for many, many years, mm-hmm, while he was here. Mm-hmm. He seems so much more relaxed in the college atmosphere, and I know there's still a lot of pressure to win in college football, sure, but obviously it's a little different than the NFL, but he always had that sense of humor, and it just didn't, it never really kind of came out.
Well, I think you'd agree with me. Right. He is one of the more laid-back on the outside, very laid-back, wound up on the inside, absolutely, guys you're looking to meet, but he never really cared that much about presenting an image to the media, and he was a winner here.
Yeah. Yeah, that was obviously his prerogative, and it was interesting just to kind of listen to him today.
Speaking of a little sports, just ahead of what's coming up at 8 o'clock, what do the Hawks want us to know today?
It's time to get ready for another exciting season. Single-game tickets for the team's preseason home opener at the United Center goes on sale this coming Monday, August 6th. We're going to talk to Jamal Mayers at 8:40 on Monday about the Hawks and how you can get your tickets. The preseason home opener is Tuesday, September 25th against the Red Wings. And then they host Ottawa on the 27th and Columbus on the 29th. So you can get your hockey in 3 days every other day.
And if you always feel like you have trouble getting into the United Center during the year, see this preseason stuff.
Yeah, it's a great game to bring kids to, the preseason ones. And that's ChicagoBlackhawks.com.
All right, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Before we go any further here, Sandberg, you were rumored to be wandering around the Pedway yesterday. Is that an accurate statement?
That is an accurate statement.
Well, why are you wandering through the Pedway?
We've started a new weekly series where it's Mary Sandberg Boyle. I'm always hungry, and I'm tackling eating my way through the Pedway.
Now, Pete Zimmerman's here. Pete helps produce his show. And Pete, how many restaurants are in the Pedway? Ballpark it for me. 40 city blocks.
500?
Yeah, there's a
500?
Yeah.
You go with that? You used to live in the Pedway. You had a cot down there.
Yeah, I have a cot down there. The probably about, I would say maybe 100, like all told, all the way through.
Yeah, this is going to be a 3-year.
So theoretically, barring the days you're sick, you could get through this by the end of the year. One a day?
No. We have five work days. One a week. I'm doing one a week. Yes, I can't eat lunch every day.
You're assuming that I'm not going to get fired.
I have a question. Can I just interrupt here?
Yes.
Mary Sandberg, you're always hungry, but do you eat? I've never seen you eat.
I like to talk about food a lot. I don't actually eat it all the time, but so, I do make a lot of plans.
So who do I file my complaint with that I didn't get this assignment?
Well, I
because I like to talk about food and eat.
Yeah, so are you willing to be videotaped eating, though? Because
sure.
I am on my, you could see the video at WGMRadio.com.
You could be in the food bullpen where, you know, she goes to you if she can't take it anymore.
That's I ate a sandwich.
Sort of, are we going to tag out?
Pete, what do you see as a challenge here, other than Sandberg not getting sick?
We did the video, Mary sat in. What was the restaurant?
We were at Hannah's Bretzel, not Pretzel, Bretzel, but it had pretzel bread.
Oh, I love pretzel bread.
Yeah.
So good. it's lunchtime, and we're sitting in this busy restaurant, and Mary's just eating her sandwich, and I'm videotaping it while people are around, and like people are looking at it like, what is it? Who's this?
Nobody said put it away.
Like, who's this like fetish guy that likes to like tape like whip women like eating sandwich?
You know what I find interesting is the fetish. Fact that when they get 35, 36 blocks deep, you're going to have to walk back to your car.
Right. We'll have to do that.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, the video's at wgnradio.com/Steve Cochran Show, or it's on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter. There's going to be one every week.
Meanwhile, we continue with all of the cover versions that are better than the originals, according to the texter 630. I like Weezer's version of Africa better than Toto.
It's a good version. I'm still going with the original.
How dare you blaspheme Toto?
It's a pretty catchy version.
It's
though.
Very similar,
they're
though.
Very similar. I was going to say
they sound exactly the same.
They're different in drum beats. There's a couple of drum beats that are different.
The radio station was playing that old song, and then I'm like, oh, it's Weezer. I'm like, oh.
708 says Space Captain by the Black Crowes. Who did the original Space Captain? I have no idea.
I'm going to look that up.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg by the Stones from the 815. Groovy Kind of Love by Phil Collins, originally done by the Mindbenders in 1966. The Band's Atlantic City.
Joe Cocker.
It's a Bruce Springsteen cover. Joe Cocker did
Space Captain.
Okay. 331, Turn the Page by Metallica, better than Bob Seger. Ooh. No. Whoa.
I can't subscribe to that.
Bob Seger's Turn the Page is unbelievable.
Hard to Handle by the Black Crowes is a cover.
Mm-hmm. It is?
That's a cover?
Yeah. Who did the original?
I don't know. I remember being blown away when I heard that. I was like, what?
This is a tough category. 815, Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah. Hallelujah has been covered as much as any song ever.
Yeah.
And you got one to play for me? Play me one, Joe, if you would. Super Joe. Super Joe at the keyboard this morning, as always.
Hard to Handle. Otis Redding, Grateful Dead, Tom Jones. Everyone did it.
A little help from my friends. What would you think if I started to shake? Remember Belushi's impression of Joe Cocker?
Uh-huh.
Gray was that. All right, we'll come back. We'll do more of these, and we'll get the news in a second on 720 WGN.
Second down and four.
Probably thought they were talking about me. No, they were talking about Brian Urlacher going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How about a little teammate perspective? We talked to Coach Lovey. Israel Adonijay joins us, one of our favorite guys. By the way, plug your foundation before we do anything else, because I love the work you're doing.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning. How's everyone doing?
We're all good. We're all good. What's the website for the foundation?
Oh, it's ifcharities.org. ifcharities.org. So,
thanks for
appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. Got an Urlacher memory? The story you tell at parties about Brian Urlacher?
We were reminiscing yesterday, last night. You know, we were at his celebration up in Canton, and I have a video of me playing a prank on him. I read this game called Box Him Up. And you know, he was the guy that no one could box. So Tina and I set him up. It's this massive box that's like 5 feet. You know, it's, you know, a box that literally could fit a 7 foot person. And we successfully boxed him up. You know, throwing the box over his head from the top of the flight of the stairs. You know, so that was what was so fun about the years. You know, playing with Brian. You know, as a leader, he brought us all together. You know, paintball at his house. We, you know, snowball. I mean, just the games and the fun we had, dodgeball, you name it. But then when it came to execution on the field and bringing guys together, you know, he truly just led. He made everybody better. Sure. He had a high standard of excellence, and we had a lot of fun together. But we when it was time to snap that football, we were able to go out there and execute as a defense. It was a lot of fun and great celebrating that with him last night.
Is he last night? We just talked with Coach Lovey just in the last hour, and the question we asked, I'll ask you the same question, that, you know, Urlacher has been upfront about talking about this being a team game, and this is a big victory for the Bears defense, the whole unit, not just him going into the Hall of Fame. How does that feel? How do you see it? And talk about the emotion of this cementing the Chicago Bears defense that you played on as one of the best of all time.
You know, that's token, you know, Brian Urlacher. He's always, you know, a wee guy, not a me guy. And, you know, it was truly for all of us an honor and a privilege to play with such a humble guy that, you know, could excel beyond, you know, most, you know, of our dreams and imaginations. And you know, for him to bring his teammates into that spotlight with him, it's truly an honor. You watch the highlights and the plays that he, I mean, the highlight that they showed last night, it was endless. It was just play after play after play. You know, this guy had such an incredible career, and it was just special to be able to be a part of it, to watch it, and now to get to celebrate it with the world.
Yeah, I know you guys played different positions, but is there something you learned from Brian about preparation or just what it was to play in an NFL game?
You know, I think a few things I learned from him. You know, I got to Chicago, I was 21 years old, so there's a few guys that in the NFL, there's two schools of education. There's the guys that do it the right way, and then there's the guys that are still, you know, figuring it out or maybe not quite so efficient as pros. And Brian was one of those guys that if you, as a young player, could emulate his preparation, the class that he carried himself with, you know, off the field, you know, you were going to be on the right track. So when you look at just how hard he worked, you know, there's people that, you know, with all the talent don't necessarily need to do all the little things every day because they've got it. They know it, you know, but he was not one of those guys. Despite the success and his God-given ability, he still came in. He worked. He just led, you know, and then when you see a guy like Brian Urlacher doing the little things, you know, paying the price, you know, putting in the extra time, you know, that really kind of sets the tempo for everyone else. So for me, you know, watching that and really taking those differentiators and those things that make him stand out and you do your best to try to apply it to your approach and to what you do as a pro as well.
Hair or no hair?
You know, I like the no hair, but the hair's growing on me. You know,
come on, you and I are bald brothers. We got to get him back.
I know, but I looked at some of the pictures yesterday, and it's growing on me.
No, he looks great. He looks great. He really does.
He looks more approachable with the hair. He's a little bit more menacing.
You know what he looks like now? He looks like the really tough dad in the neighborhood. He looks like the dad down the street who spends a lot of time in the gym. Israel Adonijay, thanks for coming on, man. Enjoy your weekend with your buddies.
Hey, thanks for having me.
See you later. Good guy. And
it's amazing.
Legendary Chicago Bear.
Think about all the defensive players in Bears history and the defenses.
And the linebackers.
And to now think that team in our generation, in the aughts, if you will, is now considered one of the best defenses of all time.
Imagine if we had a quarterback through the years.
Yeah, right.
And Dean will join us in just a second. Got some movies to talk about and other things. And more ways for you to win still to come, too, here on Much More Talk, Much Less Music, 720 WGN. We'll be calling his name. Dean Rick Shirley, entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720. It's time for Moron Entertainment, and here's my fellow moron, Dean Richards, live from Channel 9.
Good morning. So I'm at Ravinia last night. I've been there the last two nights.
Did you go home?
Yes, I did, because I was at Lollapalooza.
Dean, you should have stayed at my house. Okay. I live right by there.
Well, give me a
I have a guest room. Yeah, there's a.
How close are you
welcome.
To Ravinia?
Oh, we're like 7 minutes.
Oh, Dean, you should stay at our house.
Okay.
I would have driven him into work even for him.
Sure.
Next time, if you can stand me walking around in my underwear, that's...
How's that different than when you work here?
Well, they like to be comfortable while I do a show.
Right.
Two nights ago, I was there and hosted the showing of E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Oh, you and the CSO.
With the CSO.
Yeah.
Awesome. And last night was Raiders of the Lost Ark with the CSO playing the score live. And, you know, I give a little pre-show talk before it all starts.
Insist on lecturing your audiences wherever you go, don't you?
I do. Even, like, if I'm in an elevator or supermarket checkout stand.
You address them.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to speak to you for just a moment.
Yeah, could you just push 12?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm talking about the movie, and in this crowd, you know, it's Ravinia. It's Highland Park. It's a little, it's upscale. It's sophisticated.
The best kind of snooty.
Huge crowd out there for this last night. And somebody shouts out in the middle of my talk, "Moron Entertainment!" Oh, <my God. laughs> And then the crowd starts clapping.
Ah, that's great.
Loving the Moron Entertainment.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Shout out to all of you.
Which just reminds me one more time to say Nielsen can kiss my ass. All right, Dean, back to you.
That should help.
It's an inside thing. Tony Bennett's birthday.
He's 92 years old today.
Oh, Betty White might call him kid.
Don't bring my girlfriend into this.
No, I'm sorry. Please. I'm sorry. I know the love triangle between you, Tony Bennett, and Betty White.
It's not pretty when we're all reaching for the Polident at the same time. He is 92 years old. He has never sounded better. I've seen him at Ravinia several times. He sounds so great. And for his birthday, he's putting out a new album. He has done an all Gershwin album, a duet album with jazz great Diana Krall.
Wow.
And it's from the cuts that I've heard so far, we got a little early release video, and we can play a little bit of it.
Yeah, let me hear.
So you can hear 92-year-old Tony Bennett and Diana Krall.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Marvelous that you should care for me the way you hold your knife. The way we dance till three. The way you changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me.
I don't get it. You know, your parts wear out as you get old. You're like a car.
His voice.
How is his voice still good?
Is as good. You listen to his early recordings from the early 60s. His voice is still there.
He's something else.
And I'll say nobody interprets lyrics like Tony Bennett. I mean, you can say the words, but he makes you feel every single lyric that he puts out in these great classic Gershwin songs. The album's called Love Is Here to Stay. It'll be out September the 14th, but Tony will be making his annual visit to Ravinia on September the 8th this year. And I don't know the situation with ticket availability. I imagine the pavilion sold out.
Betty White's got a bunch of rooms. She's got blankets laid out all over.
The first few rows.
Well, that's very cool. And Lollapalooza yesterday, you survived?
Yeah, big success. It was pretty fun. Nobody annoyed me too much yesterday. I did walk into several clouds of the devil's weed that people seem to be smoking.
The devil's weed, okay.
You know, by the end of the day, all I wanted to do was find a 45-pound bag of Fritos to chow down on. The highlight of my day wasn't any of the music, wasn't any of that. I saw maybe the best projectile vomiting that I've ever seen in my life.
Like Olympic level?
Olympic level. Mm. On right on Michigan Avenue. 10 o'clock in the morning. 10
what?
O'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's not right.
Maybe it was a pre-vomit.
Yeah, maybe
it's like none of it's good.
For clearing it out first. And
for those of you about to have breakfast, we apologize.
Good for the kids.
They're
overachieving these days.
Washington, and I came in, and there were at 5 o'clock in the morning this morning, there was a ton of people walking to get in line, or I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, they get in line early to get so they can be in the front row of whatever stage they want to be at today.
By the end, I don't care how young you are, by the end of the day, if you start in a line at 5 a.m., you got to be just out of it.
I talked to so many people yesterday the very first person who was in line yesterday only wanted to go see Travis Scott yesterday. That's it. And I said, so you are going to stand at the Travis stage, I forget which one it was, all day long until 8 o'clock tonight?
Wow.
Yep. That's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
So probably people are doing the same things because today it's Bruno Mars and The National on different stages at 8:30 tonight. Post Malone is tonight. Tyler, the Creator, and Chance the Rapper's brother, Taylor Bennett, is playing at 2:30 this afternoon. So there's still tons of things going on.
Anorexic Elvis impersonators.
That's the name of a band.
Yeah, which one?
the one of the bands that'll be performing there.
No, nope, it's a band that I was in.
No, band that you.
Sorry, were. You're not a winner.
You didn't set up. You didn't set up the joke right. I was confused.
Oh no, no. All right, the spy who dumped me. I really hope this doesn't suck. Does it suck?
It sucks.
I heard Richard Roper say that last night too.
Yeah,
but I don't believe Roper.
But you believe Dean.
It's pretty sucky.
I really wanted this to be funny.
I love Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, so
I can't
do
even tell you how much I love Kate McKinnon. But this is the writing in this is so bad. Mila Kunis, I'm also a huge fan of.
Right.
Such bad writing, such disorganized mess, an overloaded, disorganized, frantic mess. The whatever funny parts you may have seen are the ones that are in the commercial. That's it for this movie.
Who directed it? Because they should be jailed.
It is a first-time director.
Oh, of course it is.
Interestingly, a female director.
Class project.
I only say that you'd think with two top-notch female actresses
right.
as your leads in this
right.
movie, that you would give them a better showcase and better material. But, boy, they sure didn't. So, C-minus on this one. This Disney movie, Christopher Robin, is opening this weekend because we haven't had enough Winnie the Pooh movies.
Now, Winnie's out of rehab, huh?
Winnie is doing very well. He seems to be keeping his pace.
I am so excited about this because I love Little Piglet. He was always my favorite.
It is very nostalgic seeing the old characters, Piglet and Tigger.
Eeyore.
Pooh. Fun to see them, but they don't really add very much to the movie. They don't really do very much.
Why the sudden nostalgia for Winnie the Pooh? Because there was the other movie as well. Goodbye Christopher Robin, the other one that was the Christopher Robin
yeah,
movie.
I don't know.
I think we're just celebrating Winnie the Pooh getting straight. Finally straightening out.
We have to celebrate. Yeah. I think they're big on the live-action movies now because Jungle Book did so well, and there have been a few other Disney movies that have been live.
And I was in here last week. I assume you love Mission Impossible?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Okay.
Best movie out there right now. If you haven't seen Mission Impossible, that's the movie to go see this weekend because Christopher Robin was also disappointing. The main thrust of this movie is now we're seeing a grown-up Christopher Robin played by Ewan McGregor, burdened down by the pressures of being an adult, and he harkens back for the days when he was a boy and hanging out with his little childhood buddies. But this is another one where the writing is not that great, so I gave this one Dean's List C. Mission Impossible is the one to see
this weekend.
And what I may go see it again this weekend, but just to add to the fun, before I go into the theater, I'm going to jump on the side of the building and try to smash my ankle. Like
that's a good call. That's a good call.
So I can really relate more to his
to the character
Ethan Hunt character.
99 bottles of Mad Dog 2020.
What is that? What you're having on the show today?
No, that's a band.
Which another band that yeah. you were. That's the band that you were in.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now you're on a bit of a roll. How about the Step Monsters?
That is a band playing at Lollapalooza.
No, it's a band I was in. And you call yourself Dean Richards.
Not today, I don't.
That's Dean Richards. Oh, and by the way, friend Greg that does Swap Meet just texted. He said, I also drive for Uber. I never smelled so much BO than I did last night driving Lollapalooza's home after the show.
Hey, it was a long day for me. I didn't get a chance to refresh.
Two words, powder. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Yes.
That's Dean. Happy weekend, and we're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psych it!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The legendary Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, and good morning.
Good morning. I think I would probably choose Summer House today were I in town, but unfortunately in Tampa Bay we don't have that, so I'll just coast around the hotel, I guess.
Yeah, I would linger. If there's no Let Us Entertain You, I wouldn't even eat today if I were you.
Nah, probably not. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Before this segment's over, the text question of the day is cover versions that were better than the original. So keep that in mind, and I'll ask you for yours at the end. But were you supportive or disappointed that the Sox did nothing before the deadline?
Well, they got rid of Soria, and they probably would have traded a few more folks, but either the deals weren't right or nobody was inquiring about the guys that they wanted to move. But I can understand. I mean, you know, you're right in the middle of this rebuild. It's probably about the halfway point, maybe a little bit further along than that. But, you know, although you'd like to move some guys, there are times when other people don't value your talent quite as highly as you do. And I thought perhaps another one of those lefties would move out of the bullpen, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, it's not a question of being disappointed or whatever, because I don't think with the guys you had to trade for this go-round, I don't think you're going to get back near what you got the last time you divested yourself of a few of the blue chippers. They had some blue chippers at that point to move, so... Yeah. It was, you know, it's a different scenario now.
Pickings
were a little
bit
thinner. Yeah.
Steve, I'm fascinated. I feel like a broken record, and I think all of Chicago asking the question about when we might see Eloy Jimenez or Michael Kopech come up. But I'm interested because I saw Chris Volstead got released. He got designated. And I wonder, is that the idea of letting some of these journeyman pitchers go to make room for some of these prospects to come up?
I think it was a dual purpose. Yeah, certainly it was to allow some guys to get innings that wouldn't get them otherwise. And also, there was a determination that Chris was not going to be part of the future as far as the Sox were concerned, and you played it out as long as you could play it out, and then you move on. And hopefully some of the other guys you give the opportunity to pick up those innings will benefit for them. Again, you make a determination at this point when you're looking at and evaluating your talent. You want to figure out who you're going to bring forward with you, who's going to be part of the future, who should be part of your past. If you make the determination that a guy is supposed to be part of your past, those are the guys that you let go of. You cut their innings down drastically, and then eventually you move on, you go to other people. I think that everybody taking a look at this particular bullpen, this 2018 incarnation of the bullpen, realizes that in order for this team to get substantially better, they're going to have to rework that bullpen.
Absolutely.
Story, let's talk about Reynaldo Lopez from yesterday. He looked more like the first part of the season than he did the last four. Is it disturbing, or is it kind of a normal thing for a younger pitcher to... I mean, he admitted that he was kind of lacking focus. I mean, is that something that goes on a lot with the young pitchers?
Well, unfortunately, it goes on with more than you would like, because focus is the whole thing. Keeping your concentration and really the intensity from pitch to pitch is the way that you get through one of these pitching performances. Anything less than that, the league reminds you that it's not all that easy to do this. And that's what the league lately has been reminding Reynaldo. But he was very good yesterday. I mean, that was how we're used to seeing him pitch. That was how I think everybody expects him to pitch. He's got a good enough fastball. I mean, he's throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. It's good enough fastball to be able to set up his other pitches. The slider was good yesterday. The occasional straight change was very good. But more to the point, he was aggressive and working quickly. I think he has a tendency, like some of the other pitchers, when they get in trouble, they slow it down drastically, and consequently you never get the rhythm back, and you wind up giving up a lot of earned runs. So is it disturbing? No, it's kind of predictable that young pitchers would go through this. You try to remind them about intensity and concentration. You try to remind them to take it with you. Make sure that you have it. Make sure that you can get it back once you lose it, because you inevitably do. And that's kind of what young pitchers are all about. That's learning the lessons the major leagues have to teach you.
Yeah, I was at that Blue Jays game where there was two pitches, two home runs. That was not that ruined our country music night.
if you eliminate the ninth inning, the Sox are in a playoff run here.
Let me ask you, Steve. So we talked about this before on the program, but here come they got the series with the Rays, who are playing above their. They still technically are in the wild card hunt. You got the Yankees coming up. You got the Indians coming up. We've talked about playing up to the competition to see what the young players can do with a better accelerated competition. Is this the time for the White Sox youngsters to show what they can do?
Well, I think this is a time when you really start to enjoy whatever season you have left. And the reason is you want to play the contending teams. When you're playing a team like Kansas City, a team that essentially is in the same spot that you are, you don't get quite as motivated as you would that when Boston comes to town, when the Yankees come to town, when certain extent when Cleveland comes to town. I think this is really what is part of an entertaining season, is to try to knock off the contenders. If you can't get there, might as well make it as difficult as possible for the teams who can. And yeah, it is a bit of a measuring stick. I think Sox realize, at least for a while during most of these games, they can play with the opposition. Then eventually they wind up making mistakes later in the game that wind up doing them in. But that's the plight of the also-ran team, the team that gives it away in the late innings as opposed to take it away. And the Sox are in the situation with their ball club now where they're going to give away more games than they take away.
So you mentioned the fun of it, you know, taking out the contending teams, like you're able to raise your game for that.
Yes.
That happened over at Wrigley last night where the Cubs lost to the worst team. How come if you can do it for one game, you can't sustain that and win and win and win and win?
And not be the worst team.
Yeah. Like,
why? Well, because someone has to be the worst team. That's kind of the deal.
This is why you're an expert, because
someone has to be the worst team, and eventually it's going to be you. If it's not the guy to your right or left, it's probably you. And that's kind of how this works. The league reminds you on a daily basis about your lack of talent. And although you can play with teams for a while and you can beat them in a sordid game, you can't beat them over the long haul. And that's why the purest race is the one for the division title. It's to figure out who the best team in the division is. And over 162, all the breaks even out. You talk about some teams, they get hot, they don't get hot, whatever, they pass in and out of that. But over 162, everything evens out, and the best teams are the ones that go forward. There's no luck over 162. Any team can beat any team in a short period.
Yeah.
And any team can beat them in one game or something along those lines. But when it's a prolonged period, you see everything that goes on with your ball club. If you have a deficiency in your pen, you're going to see it. If the defense isn't there, you're going to see it. If the offense is inconsistent, you don't have enough left-hand hitting, you're going to see that. And that's what happens over a long season. But everybody would love to be good, but it doesn't work out that way.
Steve, when you guys took the flight out to Tampa Bay, did you look around? Was there an Eloy Jimenez sighting on the plane?
I was looking hard, but no, I didn't see him yet. So,
okay.
Although I think he's probably hitting as well as you can hit at this point. We will see him. I just don't know exactly when. They don't allow me to be privy to those discussions.
Yeah,
although I would like to be, but
yeah,
I'm not.
You can't. You don't overhear the whispers.
I haven't checked the airfare, Steve. I could put him on a Southwest flight if they need the help.
Oh, I think it'd be a pretty good deal. He probably could make that flight without a great deal of drop off in production, from what I've seen. But we'll see what happens.
Let's get that done.
Yeah.
Favorite remake as opposed to a cover. You got one?
Well, no, I don't. I'm fresh out of those this morning. I don't know what it is, but I'm low on my remake list.
All right, we're going to hold on till you can think of one. We're on till 10.
Please. Thank you.
Hey, it's Steve Stone on Baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Where are you going to eat when you come home?
That's a good question. We're going to get home fairly late on Sunday night, but I'll pick it up back on Monday, and I'll see what I'll see. Usually it's Beatrix if it's a morning, but if not, maybe... Hub 51 usually has my attention some lunches.
There you go. Thank you, Steve. That's Steve Stone on your Chicago White Sox and baseball in general. Oh, and we got to come back, and we'll do more of the text question on covers that were better than the originals, and we'll play the Lollapalooza game again for SNL tickets. Just tell me if the band I mentioned is a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in or the other category I've forgotten. 312-981-7200 is the number. Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live joins us in studio after 9. Proud Neuqua Valley product. And all that on the way. Covers better than the original. Whitney Houston's national anthem better than the Francis Scott Key original.
Great.
99 Red Balloons by Goldfinger.
Oh, come on. Nothing beats Nina, especially in German.
Luftballons.
Yeah, 99 Luftballons.
John Lennon did Stand By Me?
He did. That's great. It's a great version.
Blue Suede Shoes by Elvis. Who did Elvis steal that one from?
I don't know. I think every single... I don't know. Did Elvis ever do an original?
I don't know. Janis Joplin's Summertime? That's got to be can't think of the original, but it's Summertime and the Living is Easy, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to Summertime, Summertime, Summertime.
You mean the Will Smith Summertime?
Summertime.
Yes.
Drums, please.
Janis Joplin's rap stuff was really underrated. Tears of a Clown by the English Beat. Heart live version of Stairway to Heaven, not better, but really good. Come Together by Aerosmith. I'll give you an Aerosmith. I like Run DMC's Walk This Way.
Oh, yeah, Walk This Way.
That's technically a cover, yeah.
Yeah. Both of Clapton's versions of J.J. Cale's After Midnight and Cocaine.
Those are both good. Garth Brooks doing You May Be Right. Garth Brooks loves Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Joel loves Garth Brooks. They got a place in the Hamptons. Jessica Simpson doing These Boots Are Made for Walking.
That's a good one. The video is really good, too. She looks pretty good in that video.
What was the, is it Radar Love? Was it, and I was thinking, isn't
Golden Earring?
Golden Earring did that one,
but
yeah.
But I feel like there was a Great White song. Was it a Once Bitten, Twice Shy?
Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Was that a cover? So there's Tony Bennett there.
Tony Bennett. That's a Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. Me and Bobby McGee, Janis Joplin, Annie Lennox, Whiter Shade of Pale, Better Than Pearl Cole Harum. Annie Lennox, one of the great voices ever. Weezer's version of Africa we talked about, right? Dear Prudence by Susie and the Banshees. Ain't Too Proud to Beg by the Stones. Groovy Kind of Love by Phil Collins is a remake, originally done by the Mindbenders. I think we talked about that. Let's see here. Zeppelin's Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You is actually a cover of a Joan Baez song. Pearl Jam's Rockin' in the Free World is a Neil Young song.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash did a remake of Ghost Riders. I did not know that. And Five Finger Death Punch by Bad Company. Again, I don't know the original.
We're going to have to do a text question of songs of the same name. Like, Better Man has Pearl Jam, and then there's a country band that does it right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, that Taylor Swift wrote that's really good, but they're not the same song.
Not the same song. Zooey Deschanel did Hello on the Troll soundtrack, the Lionel Richie song.
Oh.
I didn't know she sang.
Okay.
Will Smith, yeah. Forget Me Nots, the Patrice Rushen hit. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You over Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a song I love. The original Runaway by Del Shaw is fine. But Bonnie Raitt doing Runaway. You know the song Bonnie Raitt doing Runaway?
I do.
Yeah. You got a little bit of that? Hit that for me. You know why. Is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Coming up at 9 o'clock, John Raitt's daughter. We know that, right? John Raitt, the Broadway star?
Technically, that Will Smith Forget Me Nots, that's not a cover. That's a remake. That's a sample, because that's Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
Here come the Men in Black.
I want you to call that text right now.
That's not a cover. That's a...
It's a sample.
Sample.
You got like this whole secret hip hop life going.
No, I'm just. I mean, that's.
No,
Forget Me Nots is a great song, but
no, I respect you. I respect your hip hop.
I would. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, in the sample, he covers it. It's not like he. Just
no, but
plays.
He says the sample. He changes the words. He goes here. It's don't. What's it? The original 70s
song. Forget Me Nots.
Don't send me Forget Me Nots. And he does. Here come the Men in Black.
I want you guys to continue this fight off the air. We need a break, yes, and then the news next on 720 WGN.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. My estimations are correct. We should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Live in the world's greatest radio studio, 9:12 now in the morning. Going to meet the Coronas here in a second. We're personal friends of Justin Kaufman. He used to tour with him. He was one of the roadies.
That's right.
And Chris Red's here. Welcome home, man. Nice to see you.
Man, good to see y'all. Good to be here. A lot of people in here.
Too this many? Nice. You want me to get rid of some people? Yeah. You're a big star, dude. You want me to get rid of some people?
Man,
just point.
You know
they're
what?
Out.
I ain't made a decision yet.
All right, but you'll let me know?
But I definitely will.
Yeah.
This corn is
Don't
looking at me.
Don't kick the corn out. Don't kick the corn out.
This corn looking at me funny.
It's the greatest sweet corn ever.
Chair than me, dog.
Let me tell you something. This segment goes okay. You may have some sweet corn in your future.
Man, all right.
I'm not making any promises.
He's going to roll into Lala with a bag of corn.
I actually would. And some of them kids wouldn't know what it is.
What stage is your stuff on tonight?
Toyota Music Den, man. We have a bunch of dope emerging artists.
For the white people listening, that's really good talent.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Not actual dope.
Yes.
It's going to be great, man. It's the first day was amazing. And I mean, I love hosting this thing because I get to meet different bands that do different type of music that I wouldn't go to on Spotify.
Have you been to Lollapalooza when you weren't working?
No, I was not a festival person because I don't like dirty people and I don't like a lot of them in one place.
Right.
And that's a festival.
No, I'm with you.
Everybody's just nasty and glittery. I hate glitter.
Oh,
I don't like
here.
Arts and crafts.
I got glitter.
There's a lot of things I don't like. Let me go down a whole list.
Chris, I got glitter on me from 1997. I can't get rid of it. of it. Because once it's on, it's a problem.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like the herpes of arts and crafts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just wrong.
For you, I mean, you grew up in the Naperville area, but you made your name.
Yeah,
and you made your name in Second City and Chicago mm-hmm. stand-up. What's it mean to be back here doing this at Lollapalooza in Chicago and Grand Park?
It's amazing, man. I was trying to be a rapper for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I know, Steve. I could tell by the swagger.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. So when I got a comedy, I didn't have any expectations. I made a goal list, and I was like, I just want to take this serious and see if it would be a thing.
So where'd Lauren amazing. Find you?
Lauren?
Yeah.
Walking the streets, man.
Just picked you up. Was he driving an Uber? Lauren Michaels driving an
he
Uber?
He was driving a plane, sir. Yeah, he's a rich man. Yeah, driving an Uber. For practice?
who asked you to come in and audition?
There was like a bunch of different showcases that were going on, but they just asked me to do a showcase, and I kind of like, I'm a rebel, so like Second City's very much like pushing on you, like you gotta, you know, the height is to do SNL, and mm-hmm. if you don't, mm-hmm. you don't have any future. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not really that harsh, but that's how I took it. So I'm like, I don't need to be on SNL. So I always acted like I didn't want it. And then they wanted me to do a showcase, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll do it just to show them I don't care.
Right, right.
And then
right,
I did it, and then they flew me out. And I was like, oh, I think I want this. And, you know, and I was walking through the halls. I'm like, oh, this is crazy.
Well, you walk into 30 Rock and you're going to audition for SNL. That's a whole different deal.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. But to me, it was like,
that's real show business.
Yeah. Yeah. But I had already been working. So I had already done a show, Disjointed on Netflix. I had been in Hollywood kind of like doing my thing. I already did a movie. So
if you have not seen Popstar, Never Stop Stopping.
Yeah. Never Stop Stopping. Never Stop Never Stopping.
Chris has a
star
turn.
I was very emotional.
He has a star turn in the film, but but that's a great question, because you were on a track that you didn't need SNL. You were opposite Andy Samberg.
Very clear. I needed SNL a little bit. I'm gonna be very honest. I had unfinished business with sketch comedy. Like, I wanted to do my own show, but I felt it in my heart. That's
a good title for a show, Unfinished Business. Write that down.
Right, there you go.
Write that down.
Write that down. No, I just felt in my heart I needed to be pushed in a way, because comedy was getting a little easy. Not easy in the sense to do it, but easy in the sense of like I could come up with the same kind of stuff. And I wanted to have a job that would push me in a real way, that would elevate.
Who's your favorite cast member this year? And the ones you don't like, we can name those too.
I'll name all of them. No, I don't like. No, I'm playing. Everybody's super dope, and I love everybody for a different reason.
You guys all cool together?
Yeah, I think.
Everybody plays nice.
Everybody plays nice, man. Like, they're just really talented. It's hard to not.
How ridiculous is Kate McKinnon? She is so talented.
Ooh, you got rapid fire questions.
Are you?
Keen is my favorite. Keen is everybody's favorite.
Or wait a minute.
He's the OG.
I'm not convinced that you're not Kate McKinnon. That's how talented Kate McKinnon is. I believe Kate McKinnon may be playing Chris Redd.
I mean, she could be. I think
she's
that every
good.
Day. Yeah,
she's
man.
That good.
I think I'm Kate McKinnon playing me every single day of my life.
So you are on tour right now as a stand-up comedian, and you've done a lot in your career as a stand-up. You've made, you know, obviously in SNL, you're doing sketch comedy. In Second City as well. Do you see yourself first as a stand-up and sketch comedy second?
Stand-up to the day I die. And I improvise. I love improvising all the time. And I love sketch. But I know that sketch will have its like time limit. You know what I mean? Whereas like I'll do stand-up until I'm old. You know?
And how old?
I haven't put an age on it. But
neither have I.
But statistically, about 65.
Do some math.
Until I'm dead. Yeah.
Until you're dead. All right, cool. We'll make a note of that.
Are you ever not funny? You know, when
I feel like,
in regular life, like,
let's ask your family. Give me a phone number. Let's call them.
Well, when you're a stand-up and you're on SNL and you're doing all that, like, are you ever just normal, like, quiet, not talking? Or are you always?
Oh, a lot. Yeah. I'm an introvert that learned to be an extrovert because I had to work jobs that had to make me be that way. But I love being by myself and recharging. I'll be quiet in a room if it feels like I'm trying to compete with too many personalities, because I don't need all that.
Well, see, energy. That's the thing, because I've been in that writer's room at SNL, and all that is high school cast system. That's nasty stuff in the beginning. So now you're in the family, so it's you're cool with it.
I mean, you just learn how to take the lumps, and then like it's really you're just everybody's competitive. They just want to create something cool and create something dope, and everybody feels like dope again. It means very cool.
Yes, again for the white people.
I think they know what dope is.
Featured player on the show.
Yeah.
means that they can pay you $3 less than the other kids.
For real?
But yeah, talk to your agent. But when do you get kicked up to regular cast? Because I'm insisting on it for the new season.
Listen, I didn't even know the difference at first. Mm-hmm. So I was like, feature player, cool. I'm on the show, so
right.
I don't know how that works
because it doesn't affect sketches. If you write for a sketch, you're in.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can get switched out or cut out of a sketch up until the time people see it on TV. Mm-hmm. So, I could be in a sketch all week, and then last minute, they're like, Kenan needs to be this guy. And then all of a sudden, that's happening. Yeah. And you're just going to sit in your room, and you're going to watch it.
A lot is made a lot is made about being, in Chicago, a second city, about preparing yourself for showbiz.
Yeah.
Let's talk specifically about Saturday Night Live. And that's a schedule that we've heard so – it's a hellish schedule, talking about overnights and writer's room. Yeah. What prepared you for that? Is there anything that can prepare you for that kind of experience?
Yeah, my work ethic prepared me. I've always been an insomniac, so I've always been up late nights, working out, doing comedy, up early, working. Like, I just always – I've always had that in me. Now, SNL was the first job that kicked back. That was like, nah, you're really tired. Like, I really knew what it was like to take a week off and be like, oh man, I'm so glad I have this week to recover because I am exhausted. Like, I've always been able to outwork any job I've ever cared about, but this was the first one that was like, oh no. Nah.
Yeah, for people to love the show and have never geeked out enough to get behind the scenes, just real quick, is it still Tuesday? You get in a room, you pitch.
About this, there's books out, huh?
Right, and then went. No, I study. Yeah. Wednesday they start building sets. It leads to Friday is when you do the walkthrough.
Monday's pitch.
Oh, Monday's pitch.
Monday you pitch to the guest host, and then Tuesday's the writing day. Wednesday's table read, which you've probably been up since mm-hmm. Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as they pick the sketches that night, and then people start drawing out things, and like, and we just kind of like go to the each specific like department and be like, hey, I want this to look like this.
Yeah.
And then by Thursday they have like rough drafts built, and then by Friday it's done. All the pre-tape stuff is already
made. It's a factory.
And done. Yeah, it's of the best, most talented people on earth. Like, that's the talent, man. People say that, but like this, I've never seen people this good at these jobs.
Yeah, the crews that get it done.
Where do you get more satisfaction, writing good lines for you in sketches or writing lines for the other people in the sketch with you?
Oh, that's a great question.
What a
dope question. Man.
Dope white people. Yeah, that's a good question.
man, I mean, writing jokes for myself, I love doing. But like, I had to learn how to write for other people and like be okay with it, because like in stand up, you got a great bit. It's like, oh man, I'm gonna kill with this, and you get to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to have a great bit and then give it to someone else to like destroy with, and people will never really know that's your joke, is like crazy. It's satisfying. It's so satisfying now. Like, I had to learn, but it was like a learning curve for me. I was like, but I want to do that.
But you're having nothing but fun.
You're a team. You know what I'm saying? So you're playing for the team. Yeah, it's not just you. Right. Also, it prepares you for your career later. That's why you have so many great writers coming out of there.
You know, we should say too, for anybody who hasn't had the opportunity, the cast has never been hotter in the show, because you know Trump's a dope. Has never been hotter as well. So you can get tickets for the rehearsal, and I'd recommend, if you've never seen the show, get tickets for the rehearsal. It's a little easier to get tickets for the show. Now, before we run out of time, let's plug your show. So you're at Lollapalooza when?
Yes, I'm at Lollapalooza today through Sunday at the Toyota Music Den. We're gonna it's hashtag Toyota Giving. We have a lot of great prizes for you. I got some talking points right here. You hear these talking points?
Those sound like
talking
points.
All them talking points, baby?
They sound like talking points.
You know what I'm saying? It's a unique stage which features intimate performance. No, I'm not going to read like that.
Yeah.
But, yo, please come out. It's so much fun. These artists are amazing. We had Larkin Poe yesterday. That was crazy. They're descendants of Edgar Allan Poe. They did poetry the whole time. No, they didn't. They rocked out. No, they're so dope. And they're the ones I remember
dope,
the most.
Dope is cool.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah. That's great.
Yo, it's insane. It's so much fun. You can get some flowers in your hair. There's like this beatbox car. What's it called? It should be right here in my talking points. Let's be here right here in my talking points.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for
the name of the car.
This car I love. It's this beatbox car. If you go in it and you hit different parts of the car,
it's the Toyota beatbox.
Yeah, it creates like a song. So if you want to go throw a fit in a small place, you can make music.
Who doesn't?
Dope.
Who doesn't?
That's what I say all the time.
Chris Redd, it's great to see you, bud.
It's great to see you.
I like that Chris is wearing multiple Lala passes on his wrist.
Wait, that's the only way you get
in. I don't like this. I feel mad dirty because they're wet a little bit. It's like wearing soggy bacon.
Did you take him from some drunk kids on the street? Come on, stop it already. Great to see you. You want to say hi to anybody in town you're not going to be able to see because you don't have enough time because you're Chris Redd and you're a big deal?
Nah, that's my whole life. So if I don't see you, you should have came.
Okay, if you're not a Lollapalooza.
My favorite thing Chris said off the air, that his favorite thing about Neuqua Valley High School was the new books.
That's right. New books. New books, yep. Baby.
Hated
Naperville.
Love the books. Hated that area. Love
easy,
the books.
Easy. I live here.
I know. They're going to be bad. Okay.
Come on. You're killing me. It's Chris Redd. Your social media? Want to plug that? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm at Twitter. Redd said it. It's Redd with two D's, like the color extra D. Instagram, Chris Redd is. My name's not Chris Reddis. It's Chris Redd is.
Yeah.
It's a very dumb name. I won't change it.
All right. That's tremendous. And by the way, we just got the scoring. The total segment was dope.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it came down strong
that.
For you.
I love that.
Hang around if you want to watch the Coronas. I know you're a big star and you got stuff to do.
I've been a fan of Corona for a long time.
Yeah, well, you're going to love the band then. It's 9:25. Justin, you were just telling me about the Coronas a second ago. The story you just mentioned?
Yeah, they're setting up right now, the band, the Coronas, an Irish band that will be playing at Lollapalooza coming up on Sunday.
Well, we don't know if they're Irish. It could be fake accents.
It could be fake. They had come here a couple years back, 2 years ago.
I think it was probably four years ago when we came here. And we,
as fans.
Yeah, as fans.
Just to see music.
There you go.
See the music, see Chicago.
How cool is that?
Yeah, how about that? So
we had that moment you were saying you could play here one time, you know. So it's great.
And you're going to play for us in just a second. We appreciate it. Yeah. So stand by for that. All right. It is news time now. Yeah. Actually, let me do this because we got so many tickets. Got so many tickets to give away to the SNL experience. I got to give away one more. Just you guys in the room. You guys in the room, all jacked up. Is that a band I was in, a Lollapalooza band, or just a regular old band?
I'm all jacked up. I'm going to go band you're in.
That's exactly right. And why? Because I am all jacked up. That's exactly right. The band formerly known as Sausage.
That's you. That's your Sausage.
That's a real band.
No, it's a real band.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
I thought
a real
that
band.
Was you. Tommy Sausage. That's your
Sausage. How about Catfish and the Bottlemen?
That's a Lollapalooza band.
There's a Lollapalooza band. Rainbow Kitten Surprise?
That also is a Lollapalooza.
Post Malone?
Lollapalooza.
A Boogie with the Hoodie?
That's a Lala? No?
That's a Lollapalooza band as well. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five callers at 312-981-7200. The first five callers that Joe wants to give away SNL tickets to for the exhibit next Friday for the live show at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
There you go.
The tickets for the show you can get from Chris Redd. We'll give his cell phone out here in a couple minutes.
There you go.
All right. Big Lollapalooza weekend. And? Yes, we are live.
We are.
Justin, introduce the band.
Yes, we have a band in studio because it is a big weekend for Chicago music lovers. Lollapalooza takes over Grant Park yesterday, today, Saturday, and Sunday. For my money, the best day is Sunday. And because not just because the band that is in studio, the Coronas, will be playing at Lala on Sunday. The Irish band, the Dublin-based band, put out their album Trust the Wire back in 2017, which debuted at number one. The Irish music charts. Danny O'Reilly and Dave McPhillips are two of the members of the band. They are in studio today, stripped down, and they're ready to perform for us before. So you don't need to buy all the big passes to get into Lollapalooza. You can just hear them here on 720 WGN. Stripped down, here they are, the Coronas with the song We Couldn't Fake It. Take it away, guys.
Covered in water, they left me for dead. She's somebody's daughter, somebody's friend. Would you notice me? Oh, would you notice me? Oh, you're screaming, but you're already leaving. And I'm out of Brazil, 'cause I almost believe them. Don't let me waste your time, 'cause we had it all before, and we never like that. Leave it alone, we don't need to change your minds, 'cause we never changed at all. Yeah, we couldn't fake that. No, and now it looks over before it even begins. I throw you over my shoulder. Yeah, we go again, 'cause we're focusing now. Yeah, we're focusing now. And we're screaming, but you're already leaving. And I'm just mad at myself. Yeah, almost believe them. Don't let me waste your time, 'cause we had it all before, and we never liked that. Leave it alone, we don't need to change your minds, 'cause we never changed at all. Yeah, we couldn't fake that. We couldn't fake that. So let them all ignore us. I feel it, do you feel it? We know it's more important. Believe it when you see it. I'd take something from it, even if you gotta take some of the blame. Something that you know you can't replace. Don't let me waste your time, 'cause we heard it all before, and we never liked that. Leave it alone, we don't need to change your minds, 'cause we never changed it all. Yeah, we couldn't fake that.
Good as that. How
yes.
good is that?
Amazing.
Let me tell you something. Connor and Graham sleep in every weekend.
Thanks a lot.
You guys got it. You guys sound great.
Thank you.
All right. What's good? What's the album called again?
It's called Trust the Wire. It came out a year ago. So yeah,
That's the latest album.
That's the most recent one. Yeah. So yeah, we've been touring pretty hard since that came out. We've been here a couple of times. We played here in February in Lincoln Hall. We had a great show there.
You guys sound great.
It's cool to be back in Chicago.
It's hard to sing at this hour.
Yeah,
we're still on Irish time though, so we
yeah.
That performance was tremendous. We're going to talk more about
it.
If you listen to the song on the album as well, it's amazing. It's such a great song. Congratulations on all your success. Just American audiences just getting to know you because you've had such success in Ireland and Dublin where you're from, and we'll talk about all that.
Yeah, we'll come back
here.
And do something. You do another one for us?
Sure, no problem.
You need me to jump in? Are you guys good?
Yeah, you come in and do some back vocals.
Okay, cool.
I think Chicago in February and August in February, if you compare the two.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here. It's 9:47, and more with the Coronas coming up. Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Coronas are here. Hey, Andy Mazur, I want to mention, too, that the Western Golf Association's got a big deal going on, the Western Amateur at Sunset Ridge.
Okay.
Match play starts at 10, and for the first time, they're streaming on those matches live at golfchannel.com and at westernamateur.com.
It's right across the street from my house, so
at Sunset
if you
Ridge.
Need somewhere you to park, people, you can come to my house. I have a big driveway.
For $25 a car.
I was going to say, how much?
Yeah.
So hi to everybody, Vince and everybody there, and again, golfchannel.com, westernamateur.com. The Coronas are here. Playing Lollapalooza this weekend. When's the last time you guys were nervous on stage?
I suppose we had a really big show in Dublin maybe 2 weeks ago. It was our biggest show of the year in an arena. Thank you.
Just got past some water there. That's mm-hmm. all right. Mm-hmm. So that can be quite nerve-wracking, I suppose, when you have the big hometown show as well, because sure. you have all your family and your friends, and everyone's coming down, and you've got the biggest guest list of any of your shows, and you got to look after all your friends and stuff. So that can be a little bit nerve-wracking. But I think we've been doing it now. We've been in this band for a good few years now, and
I think the range of things that can go wrong has got smaller over the years. So
yeah, that's
it. More comfortable about that.
Yeah, exactly. When you have a good crew around you as well, that makes a big difference, you know, and you sort of you trust that even if something goes wrong on stage out the front, our engineer is going to make it sound good
when you're playing
a bit like your engineer Bob here,
maybe. Oh, yeah. Bob's getting it done.
When you're playing those home shows, do you ever see any former enemies, people that that crossed you and now they're all of a sudden into you and like,
how about girls that didn't pay attention to you in high school?
That happens definitely.
Look at me, I'm the rock star now.
A musical we'll write about.
I always ask bands, we don't have too many enemies.
I always ask bands, you know, what's it like to adjust your set to something as big as Lollapalooza? But as you just mentioned, I mean, you're playing in Dublin, seats, you know, spaces of 15,000 people. Yeah. You are veterans on the festival circuit. Yeah. What advice do you give to other bands about getting in front of crowds the size you're going to see at Lollapalooza this week?
Well, don't suck. There's your advice.
I don't know what sort of advice we'd give, but I think for us, you do need to adjust your set, I think, at different times. And so for us over here, we're promoting a new album as well, and I think we're doing a festival set. I think you have to sort of play upbeat songs and you know, not do too many sort of depressing ballads, because people are on a festival, you know. Buzz, you were talking about the glitter and all that stuff earlier on, you know.
But don't you think there's a point where everybody wants to either think about their last breakup, or they want to hear something.
Yeah, well, there's always room for one depressing ballad, all right, and one emotional breakup song, and we have more than one or two, don't we, Dave?
I love a good breakup song. Right? I like to make myself sad and listen over and over again. Yeah, absolutely.
Who does the majority of the writing?
We all do. We do it together. So, I mean, it's changed over the years. Like, when we sort of started out, it would have been sort of more myself writing a bit of a song on acoustic guitar and bringing it to the rest of the guys, and we'd work on the songs together. But these days, you know, we it's very collaborative, and it's much better. I think it works really well. We can be honest with each other. We've been mates our whole lives. So we were friends before we started playing music. So we sort of have that bond where we actually enjoy hanging out when we're not working.
You can hand someone a bad song and they'll just tell you it's crap.
Right.
Which is tough, you know. Like, as a writer, no matter what you write, I think you know, you believe in it, and there's a lot of ego involved and stuff.
We're not friends, but that is terrible.
But the funny thing is, it can happen the other way as well, where you write something that you think, you know, I'm not sure about this, and you play it to the guys, and they're like, oh, that's really cool. Let's do that. And
sometimes just a piece, a riff, or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Debuted at number one with Trust the Wire on the Irish music charts. You know, to be a Dublin-based band, to have this opportunity at Lollapalooza, tell us about the Dublin music scene. I mean, what do we need to know? What bands are coming out of there, and what we know?
It's really strong. The Irish scene in Dublin, in Ireland, is amazing. I mean, you guys have probably heard of Hozier. He's doing really well, taking to church, and you know, obviously there's so much. I mean, back to, like, you know, Snow Patrol, Irish band. I'm trying to think of the ones that are doing well. Codaline, have you guys heard of Codaline? Obviously, there's the big names then from the past, like U2.
I'm way into the Coronas.
We don't want to top any other Irish bands, just us. Yeah.
All right, you guys are nice enough to do one more. What's the other song you're going
to do? Of course, we're going to do a song called Not What You Know. So it's sort of about, you know, believing in yourself and giving yourself a bit of credit. And
that's nice.
We might not even play this on Sunday. Probably won't make the set on Sunday.
But wow, special.
Be nice this morning. Yeah.
All right, let's take our last break. Cheers, come back, guys. And we'll finish it on 720 WGN. We'll say hi to Evan Spillman. Evan's not feeling well. And Evan, where's the camera? Evan, we'll pick it up. Evan just wants to say hi. So hi, Evan.
Here you go.
Get feeling better. That's all I'm talking about. The Coronas are here, and they're going to do one more for us. If you're going to Lollapalooza this weekend, or you're already stumbling around there, you are probably not even going to hear them do this. A special treat. By the way, follow them at thecoronas.net on Facebook, The Coronas Official. Spotify, Instagram, YouTube, all the places you must legally be a part of if you're a band. You ready, fellas?
We are. Thank
you guys for coming in.
Yeah, no, amazing. We loved it. Cheers.
Really great. Well, the first one was amazing. Let's hope for the best here.
I know this song.
They're going to kill it?
Yep.
All right, here you go.
Not What You Know off Trust the Wire. Here they are.
One more time.
Right
now it's your time to shine. Got all your moves, you know all your lines. Keep up your head, you're doing just fine. Move both your feet, move them in time. Cause it's not what you know, it's what you can show. Don't fear your mistakes, mistakes make you whole. It's out of your hands, out of your control. Give yourself into it.
Look, now you're doing so well. You still got your nerves, but no one can tell. And I know you can, you know that as well. You don't need a hand, you got this yourself. And I know it's hard, it will get harder, it will get harder. It comes and it goes, but it won't take forever, it won't take forever. Just keep getting better, you know what I always say.
It's not what you know, it's what you can show. Don't fear your mistakes, mistakes make you old. It's out of your hands, out of your control. Give yourself into it. Time, it all moves so fast. You know what you have, so just make it last. You're playing your part, the part you've been cast. You won't get the answers unless you ask. And I know it's hard, it will get harder. Yeah, it just gets harder. Yeah, it comes and it goes away. Won't take forever, won't take forever. Just keep getting better. Cause you know what I always say. It's not what you know, it's what you can show. Don't fear your mistakes, mistakes make you old. It's out of your hands, out of your control. Give yourself into the things that you know. It's what you can show. Don't be your mistakes, mistakes make you old. It's out of your hands, out of your control. Give yourself into it. And anywhere you need to go, I will help you there. There's nothing else you need to know. And I suppose that's hard to just let it go. It's not what you have, it's what you do with what you know.
Is as good as anything we've ever done, for sure.
The Coronas. Live at Lollapalooza on Sunday.
I hope you guys are cool with a 57-year-old groupie, because I'm in.
Nice.
You're going to have to fight Wendy and I off.
I'm telling you.
Oh, Wendy and I
goosebumps.
Are.
Did you witness it?
This great group job. Is ours.
Thank you. And by the way, it's not just the Irish accents, though I recommend you use those this weekend. congratulations, guys, on all the success. I hope you'll come through again.
Cheers. Thanks so much for having us.
Great. Great shows. They're really, really good. Really good.
Mistakes make Danny you whole. Dave. That's the theme to mine and Bill's show.
You know what? You just rhymed. You just wrote a lyrical chunk
there
right
there.
Fantastic. What are you guys doing today?
We've got the lyrical chunks joining us there at Lollapalooza.
That's great.
They'll be by to sing a song.
They are strong.
Yeah,
they
they've got the
strong.
Dutch accent going.
Once so they're done, what are you doing?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that's the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, just a four-minute show today. LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball's on?
In studio, yeah.
In studio?
Yeah.
What time is that happening?
I might be taking a break at that time.
Yeah, we're a little nervous.
I would be.
Oh, 10:35.
That's awesome.
You know what? Make the Coronas interview.
Is that right, guys? Yeah, they're in? All right. Yeah, we're all looking forward to it and scared.
All you have to do is say hello and leave the studio for half an hour.
He gets perturbed sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
good
do you explain
times.
LeVar Ball to the Coronas?
I don't think you want to.
Okay, so he's a dad.
No, I don't think you want to. No, I don't think you want to.
Basketball impressive.
Yeah.
Area?
Andy, thank you for today.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. We're back on Monday on 720 WGN. Here's Wendy.